The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Tuesday, June 25th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a domestic dispute and stabbing led to a deadly triple shooting Monday night in South Philadelphia, according to Philadelphia police. It happened in the 2100 block of Bailey Terrace. Police are also investigating whether a fatal shooting on the same block 2 hours later may have been related or an act of retaliation. Police said about 9:40, right before the triple shooting, there was a domestic dispute in which a 26-year-old man was stabbed in his arm. Police say it was that man who then shot three people. In that incident, a 42-year-old woman was shot just feet from her front door. Officials say she died at the hospital. A 51-year-old woman was shot in her thigh. She's in critical condition but is expected to survive. And then a 59-year-old man was shot in the hip and is in stable condition. Police say they caught up with the 26-year-old man at the hospital where witnesses identified him as the shooter. He was taken into custody about 2 hours after the stabbing and shooting. About a half a block away, a 24-year-old man was shot at close range and killed. Police are investigating whether that was related to an earlier shooting. Anyone with information is asked to contact police at 215-686-TIPS.
That's pretty brazen because I'm sure they were still investigating police around that area and vehicles and just probably within sight distance.
Yeah. Thousands of flies are swarming Upper Darby Township. From Lansdowne to Drexel Hill, homes with fly traps in their backyards can be seen. Many residents are also taking to social media to post pictures of the fly traps that they have hanging on their fences and in their backyards. They're saying it's an eyesore too.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. I mean, they're like it's bag-o flies.
It's disgusting.
See, I mean, they're just Kathy. Filled with squirming flies.
One resident called it a Delco apocalypse. Neighbors.
Delcopolis.
Delcopolis. Neighbors in Upper Darby Township say they can't stop hearing flies buzzing around their backyards. Another resident said she had two fly traps that holds about 20,000 flies. They're both filled and she needs to get a new one.
Yeah.
Delco!
You're going to need a machine. You're going to need a 50 caliber.
Jeez, flamethrowers.
By the way, that's my favorite Delco drop. We haven't heard that in a long time.
Charles Rickenbacker with the Philadelphia Insecticarium and Butterfly Pavilion talked to 6ABC and said getting your own pest control is important. He said that the Insecticarium...
It's actually rather an interesting thing when you're leveling.
...sells Max Force fly spot bait, which is meant to kill flies in your backyard but should not attract any more flies than what's already around your yard. The Insecticarium also said red eyes indicate that these are common house flies, but they aren't sure why there are so many flies congregating in backyards around Upper Darby Township. Not only are the traps creating an eyesore in the neighborhoods, but neighbors say that they can't stand the strong odor of the traps. I didn't know a trap would have odor.
I saw them interviewing people, and they said that they stink because it needs to attract the insects. Oh. And I guess there's some kind
that's
of
a win-win.
Scent that needs to get out there. And they
is it like a sweet scent or
no? They said it smells bad. I don't know the description of the smell.
Well, yeah,
but they said it's unpleasant.
If you think about it, like your trash that smells disgusting, you always find flies swarming around there. So
it might smell like rotted food.
Yeah, what are flies drawn to?
Some neighbors said that the traps cost about $8 a bag, and they have multiple bags in their backyard. One neighbor says that she goes through a bag a day.
Oh my God.
Now, a woman found a cobra on her patio yesterday in Falls Township, Bucks County.
Yeah. This is a wild story.
Dude, a cobra?
Well, listen, it's all tied in. So,
It was flown there by flies.
Delco brought it.
Well, because I have snake nightmares from time to time. And
listen to the story.
Had one.
Right. Kathy Kehoe says that she knew right away it was a cobra. She says Blue Jay squawking outside of her apartment window led her to walk over. To see what was happening, she said on her patio was a cobra. She snapped a few photos first. Then, as the snake slithered away, the great-grandmother chased after the 4 to 5 foot snake into the yard and killed it with a shovel.
What?
She was describing, Kathy, that she stopped it with the shovel, stopped it by the tail, and then when it stopped, she took it and went down on the neck below the head.
And they're saying she's lucky that she didn't miss.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Kehoe thinks that the venomous reptile may have been roaming around the apartment complex for months. You remember back in March, authorities went to this same apartment complex and they removed 20 venomous snakes from a neighboring apartment, including 12
wow.
cobras.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she was worried all along that some of the snakes had escaped. Kehoe says that she knew she needed to kill this one to protect the kids in the neighborhood.
Just want to say that things like this never happen in Montgomery County.
Oh, my God. That's not true. Just wait.
I know.
I'll have one
now
tomorrow.
You just asked for it.
Montco is huge.
Send us your Monco stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's unclear whether the snake is connected to the apartment that was raided in March. What is clear is that Kehoe is terribly lucky that she didn't miss. Most snake bites occur when someone tries to attack or capture the reptile. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Phillies beat the New York Mets last night in South Philly. Michael Franco hit a go-ahead. Two-run home run. Rhys Hoskins, Gene Segura, and Jay Bryce. Bruce also went deep, and the Phillies beat the Mets 13-7, ending a seven-game losing streak. Zach Eflin struggled through five innings, allowing six runs and 11 hits. The Phillies scored only 15 runs total during the losing streak, but were able to score 13 last night.
They still gave up seven runs. You know, I hate to be that guy, but they still gave up seven runs to a terrible baseball team.
The four-game series continues tonight. Jake Arrieta will get the start. Game time is scheduled for 7:05. At the Women's World Cup, the Americans beat Spain 2-1 nice. To advance to the quarterfinals in the tournament. Megan Rapinoe scored both goals, both on penalties, including one in the second half, to lead Team USA to the victory. Up next is a matchup against the host French that will take place in Paris on Friday afternoon. And the Flyers have re-signed restricted free agent defenseman Travis Sanheim to a two-year contract with an average annual value of $3.25 million. 23-year-old Sanheim recently completed his second NHL season, appearing in all 82 games, picking up 9 goals and 26 assists for 35 points. The Flyers also acquired forward Tyler Pitlick from the Dallas Stars in exchange for forward Ryan Hartman. Pitlick, who was 27, played in 47 games in an injury-shortened season, recording 8 goals and 4 assists for 12 points. And that's what I have for you this morning.
The guy's name is Pitlick?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, welcome, friend, to a Tuesday morning. We are all set to go. We have a very cool day set up for you this morning. We have a lot of things to give away. We have that Spider-Man screening that we will have a chance for you to win tickets to. We also have Pink's Hot Dogs stopping by this morning from King of Prussia Mall. They're in the food court, and they brought a bunch of stuff to give away, so we'll have your chance to win those. Today is Tattoo Day, so we're going to be giving away an opportunity for you to win a free Preston and Steve tattoo from our friends at the amazing Philadelphia Eddies, which is in South Philadelphia. It's 621 South 4th Street, so listen up. In fact, you can go ahead and get on that now.
Yeah.
Text the word tattoo to 39333, and we will grab ourselves a winner before the show is up. But guest-wise, we're very excited today because in our studio will be actor David Harbour. He plays Hopper on Stranger Things, and he's been in a gazillion movies, just to name a couple of them, The Equalizer and Black Mass. We love his scenes in that movie.
End of Watch was one of my favorite movies. Oh, yeah. He's really good in that. And Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah. So he is in, and he's here to promote Stranger Things Season 2. It's coming up on July 4th, Netflix.
So excited for this. The first two seasons have been home runs, and the trailer for this third season looks amazing.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, you handled it.
No. I held number 3 because you said season 2.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't want to jump in there.
I got you.
To correct you.
Season 3.
Yes.
Sorry about that, of course. Yes, and the third season looks pretty awesome. So, he's going to be stopping in a little after 9 o'clock. We also have to remind you that we have the Belly Flop Championships coming up. It is Battle of the Sexes this time around.
I had no idea, Preston, how popular this is with women.
Yes, it is. Well, it's popular with women as far as being spectators.
Yes.
Now, what we need are women to sign up for this.
That's a good clarification.
We wanted to get some ladies on board. We're doing Battle of the Sexes, and we have a number of great entries from people who want to be a part of this and possibly win $500 cash and Rolling Stones tickets. We have prizes for each gender. And as of now, there is one lovely lady who is guaranteed to win the whole thing because she's the only woman that signed up so far.
Yeah.
So there we need other ladies to be a part of this. And I know it might be a bit of a stretch, But all you got to do is jump into the pool and do a belly flop. Now, I guess women maybe don't belly flop that often.
Well, there's other things involved with it, too. I mean, obviously, what it's become is it's sort of an aquatic version of the Cardboard Classic because there's a lot of presentation and there's costumes and things that are involved. So if you get creative, you could have a good shot at this.
Yes, you could. So we need you to sign up now, WMMR.com. You can do that, PrestonandSteve.com. Make sure that you get to it. Go to the events portion of the website. The deadline to enter is Wednesday, July 3rd, I have here. So you need to get on this as soon as you can. And don't forget, it's a 21 and over event, and it is free for spectators to come in. Doors that open at 5 p.m. We'll be at the Valley Beach Poolside Club at Valley Forge Casino Resort. So please get signed up now.
We always have a great time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And also, speaking of having a great time, you could be with either Casey or Nick Wednesday night or Thursday night. They're headed to Club Risque, and I want to give away some of these passes now. It's not only your chance to hang with the fellas and the ladies at Club Risque, but also you can end up in the cash boob. That's right. The cash boob.
Just call it cash booth.
In the cash booth. Yeah, people, I know. Yeah. It's confusing.
Yeah, it is confusing.
They have a cash booth where you get in, you know, and the fan turns on, all the money blows around, you grab as much as you can. It's that type of thing.
Now, if it actually was shaped like a boob,
yes,
it's not. It's not.
It's a box.
It's a box.
So it's your shot to grab cash and other prizes in the cash booth that night. But it also includes a one-hour VIP open bar starting at 8 o'clock. So if you would like to go, let's say we'll take 8 callers right now. And you can either go, like I said, Wednesday night with Casey in Bristol, or Thursday night with Nick at the Philadelphia location of Club Risque. 215-263-WMMR. Men or women?
Yes.
21 and over. Give us a call right now, and we can take care of that right as we speak. So let's take a quick break. Come back in a second. I got a huge stack of entertainment stories that I want to run by you, as well as a listener-based. Somebody gave me a good trivia question this morning for the stupid question. So we'll come back in just a second. More chances to win. And we'll lay the stories out for you. Be right back.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so the stupid question this morning is going to net you a $50 Rita's Water Ice gift card. And like I said, I got this question. This is from podcaster Libby, who listens in Ellicott City, Maryland.
Nice.
And she said, I learned this today and thought of you. So here is the question that I have for you. What is the name of the currency in Vietnam? 215-263-WMMR is the number. I never knew this. What is the name of the currency in Vietnam? 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. See if you know the answer. I'll go through some birthdays.
Yes.
While we are awaiting your answer. Today is Tuesday, June 25th. Mike Kroeger plays bass for the band Nickelback. He is half-brother of Chad Kroeger.
He's only half-brother, huh?
Yeah, so I guess they have the same dad, but different moms. And he is celebrating his 47th birthday today. I wonder when those guys will come out with some new music. It has been a long time, and they're a bit of a, you know, they can be the butt of a lot of jokes as far as rock music goes. But you can't deny the fact that they write very hooky songs and have made a whole lot of money and sold a lot of records.
Well, they definitely turned it around for me because I would make jokes about them all the time. But we actually got to interview who was in the studio? Chad and who else? He was with someone else, wasn't he?
Yeah, but I forgot who else from the band came with him.
But really, really cool. Self-deprecating.
Yeah. So Mike celebrates his 47th birthday today. Jamie Walker, he's been here before. J.J. Evans, Good Times. 72.
I can't remember.
Dynamite thing. He's okay.
He was just okay.
No, Jimmy Walker. Yeah, he wasn't. You know, he's one of these guys who's not totally enamored of that past.
Yeah, so, that whole Dynamite.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. I remember playing a comedy club years ago, Preston. He had played the weekend before, and he wrote on the wall, just one more stop on my way down.
Yeah. I had, as a kid, and this was in the late 1970s, I had a J.J. Walker or J.J. Evans, I guess the character he played, but I had a J.J. doll with a pull string on it.
Oh, my God.
You pulled it. Dynamite! Dynamite! I would say you know? So, you know, he was on top of the world at one time.
Yeah, John Amos was supposed to be the big star of that show, and he... And that character took off, and that was it.
Yep. So Jimmy Walker is 72 today. Tim Finn, lead singer of the band Crowded House, guitarist as well.
Big fan of Crowded House.
Also in a group called Split Ends, if you remember. They kind of had one song called I Got You, if you remember that song.
I do like that song. So who's touring with Fleetwood Mac?
He is, I believe. Yeah. So he's he took over for the Lindsey Buckingham spot.
Right.
And he's celebrating his 67th birthday today. Yeah,
great song. Great video, too.
I actually used to sing this song in the image.
No. Did you really? Yeah. You were the singer.
I could just barely hit the highest notes on this song. I can't do it anymore.
Give us a taste.
No. I am not a singer. So Tim Finn is celebrating. Oh, this is I Got You. This is a great song from Split Ends. So he celebrates his 67th birthday today. Never know. Maybe Jackie, who's in for Pierre, will play sometime.
No, he's not in for Pierre. Pierre's back.
It was one day.
It was a one-day thing.
Oh, I thought it was like a week or two.
Well, maybe Pierre will do it.
Yeah, but he crushed it yesterday, Preston.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He really did.
Did he tell you that? Or
yes.
Okay, all right.
By the way, it's Neil touring with the Fleetwood Mac.
Oh, it's Neil Finn?
Yeah.
I was incorrect about that.
Well, it's an easy mistake.
Okay. Well, who was Neil Finn with? Was he with Crowded House as well?
No, you're right at everything that you said up until that point. Tim Finn is not touring with Fleetwood Mac. Neil is.
Okay. So he was hang on a second.
Tim Finn and Neil Finn were both in Split Ends.
In Split Ends, but was Neil Finn in Crowded House? I don't think he was he? I don't care anymore.
Who cares anymore? Yeah.
Jeez, you know why?
I feel brutalized.
It's Linda Cardellini's birthday.
There we go.
I love her, man.
Yep.
Yeah. It's funny because she was supposed to be in Scooby-Doo, Velma.
Velma's supposed to be unattractive, but she's too attractive to be unattractive.
Yeah.
So that really wasn't working.
So she was Velma. She was also in Mad Men. She was on ER, Avengers Age of Ultron. She's in that. And actually, in Endgame, she's in part of that.
She was in Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, that's correct.
And she's on a show on Netflix.
Is she?
Yeah, with Christina Applegate.
That's correct. They have this weird little dynamic, the two of them.
I watched it. I loved it. What was it called?
Dead to Me. Did you finish it? Because
I did.
I think four episodes in or something like that.
I did.
All right.
And it's like there were a few times where I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
And she got started on Freaks and Geeks, right?
Yeah, she did.
That was one of her first breakout roles. So she's 44 today. Ricky Gervais, creator of The Office. Man, what a success.
So the other, about a week and a half ago, I watched back to back his emceeing of the Golden Globes. And there is some of the funniest stuff.
Yeah.
He goes, he does not care at all.
Yeah.
And he gets up and surgically, they keep having him back. Yeah, and he's saying, why are you having me back? But some of the sharpest, funniest stuff. And you can see in the crowd, like people are like, they're just looking around like.
Well, didn't they decide to go with him? Because he came up to accept one year.
Yeah.
And he'd had a couple drinks.
Yes,
and he was kind of loose and having fun. They're like, this guy could host this thing, you know?
If you get a chance, watch, because there's about two or three of them that are just, and he starts dissecting celebrities that are still relevant, but he's just hilarious.
He's a hell of a talent, CFDA today. And last birthday, speaking of a hell of a talent, this young lady, her name is McKenna Grace. She's only 13 years old. Did you see the movie Gifted with Chris Evans?
I did, yes. Yeah, she's really good.
She's a little girl.
Yeah.
What a talented young actress. She is. She also played in I, Tonya, which is a great movie. She played Tonya as a little girl.
Oh, that's right.
At the beginning of the movie. Yeah, so she's only 13 years old today. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What's the currency in Vietnam? And I will go to Elizabeth and see if she knows the answer. Hi there, Elizabeth.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Elizabeth, what is the currency that they use in Vietnam?
Vietnamese dong.
The dong.
The dong.
Yeah, hang on a second.
Can you break a dong for two schlongs?
Elizabeth, we're going to get your info. We're going to give you a $50 Rita's gift card. The five-layer gelati is back at Rita's. You can add an extra layer of custard to your favorite gelati only at Rita's and only for a limited time. Yesterday, Chicago police released investigative files and over 70 hours of video connected to the Jesse Smollett case. One video is a body cam video of officers responding to Jesse's 911 call. And as previously reported, he had claimed that he was a victim of a homophobic and racist attack in Chicago. He was later indicted on 16 felony counts of lying to police and allegedly staging the attack, but those charges were later dropped. In the videos obtained by TMZ, Jesse still had a noose around his neck more than 40 minutes after the alleged attack. Cops asked the actor if he wanted to take it off, but he wanted them to see it before he did. He then told police that he didn't want to be recorded, and then they double-checked with him to see if it was okay for them to turn off their body cams. He also expressed concern about his neighbors knowing about the attack, and he mentioned that his attackers poured bleach on him. Another video shows the Osundario brothers in a taxi before arriving at the scene of the alleged attack. They both were wearing hoodies. One of them is wearing a ski mask, and they were out of the car at 1:22 a.m., the alleged attack happened around 2 a.m. The site pointed out that when the brothers got out of the taxi, they don't appear to be holding anything, no noose, bags, or bleach. So they've released this video and take...
It's a ton of stuff, but
what you will.
All that was undecided or up in the air the first go-around, he's now quite likely going to be recharged with everything.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens. Tristan Thompson has denied telling Khloe Kardashian that he was suicidal in the aftermath of his cheating scandal with Jordan Woods.
God, how sick are you of this stuff, right? I mean, it's so ridiculous.
On Sunday night's episode, Khloe revealed that Tristan threatened to kill himself.
And I was so worried.
After she found out about his night with Jordan Woods. However, a source told Radar Online a totally different story. The source said that he... says he told Khloe he didn't want to live without her, but that didn't mean that he wanted to kill himself. The source continued saying he is pissed off because a ton of people, including his family members and NBA execs, are reaching out to him very worried.
Just let it go. What kind of basketball player is he?
He's good.
He's all right, yeah.
Yeah.
He was on a team with LeBron, and so when LeBron was on the Cavaliers...
He caught some of the heat from that?
Well, I mean, he's a good player. Yeah. He's a good supporting role, but once LeBron left and went to the Lakers, the Cavs sucked. And that shows how good Tristan is. He's a good player, but he's not a superstar.
Lamar Odom level?
No, Lamar Odom was good.
Yeah, Lamar's probably better.
I would say if you were going to do, like, tiers of skill... LeBron being like a first tier, I would say he's like third tier.
All right.
Yeah.
By the way, Kim took to Twitter to talk about how uncomfortable it was to watch the episode back. She said, as uncomfortable as reliving all this over again is, we've been so open with everything in our lives, from giving birth, marriages, divorces, the good times and the bad. And unfortunately, this is the truth of what we went through. And I wish I could have it could have aired sooner.
Can you wrap your mind around the fact that they sit there and watch themselves on their own reality show?
Right.
Come on.
I know. In other news, not even 24 hours after the cheating scandal episode aired, Jordan announced a new clothing line with Boohoo.
How? What? What is her claim to fame? This Jordan that is suddenly now all over the news, right?
She's a regular on the TV show.
Well, there you go.
Oh, she is on the show?
I think so, right?
Okay, well, I mean,
at least her name is.
She was a bestie to Kylie. We know that.
Yeah. So if
a freaking nightmare.
If she's on, you know, if her name is on the show, it's part of that. It's in that, you know, that group of people that watch it. That's a lot of eyes and ears. And so... Clothing line.
Dear God. There you go. Clothing line. We should have clothing lines.
We should.
Damn it.
Kathy, you whip something up.
Put one together.
I want an accessory line.
Something on the Boohoo line or whatever the hell this is.
That's what I want, accessories. I think I could do that.
Okay. All right. Well, let's
look at this, Gordy. It's if you really want to look like a hooker.
Well,
oh,
I mean.
God.
Who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
Look at that. We're looking at video of her glasses that have a big bejeweled J and W on the lenses.
Like yeah, you can't drive with those.
See. No, you can't see, Steve.
You can't see, Casey.
You're going to crash into things.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Willow Smith is opening up about her sexuality, saying that she likes men and women equally. On the newest installment of Red Table Talk, Willow, along with Mom Jada Pinkett Smith and Gammy Adrienne Benfeld Norris, that's her grandmother?
Yeah, I guess so. Looks, by the way, like she's 40.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. They talked about polyamorous relationships with one throuple. Now, are you guys familiar with the throuple?
Not familiar with the throuple.
I had to look it up. So apparently it's a three-way relationship.
Oh, a throuple.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Not just a menage a trois or a threesome.
Yeah, a
throuple is a relationship.
Yeah, a throuple.
Yeah, you know,
a throuple.
Yeah.
A thruple?
That's how I see it.
Oh, a thruple. That's it.
Yeah, a thruple.
Okay.
Well,
I thought it was like a through, but it's a thrup.
Thrup, as in?
As in a couple.
Couple,
a
but with.
And a. Okay.
So THR.
Yeah, thrup.
Yeah, thrup.
Yeah, thrup.
So where I was 5 minutes ago.
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah,
thrup.
Yeah, thrup.
There it is.
Yeah, a couple.
Mick, could you give us one of those?
Yeah, thrup.
Yeah.
Seriously, I started this like a minute ago.
I'm sorry.
I know. Your delivery was not up to snuff. You need to either sell it harder or be convicted.
Absolutely my fault. You're right.
During the conversation, 18-year-old Willow is asked how she would see the dynamics of the genders if she were in a thruple. She said, I love men and women equally, and so I would definitely want one man, one woman.
What's Gummy saying about this?
Gummy has not chimed in about this.
Polyamorous as well.
I think that Jada had tried it one time. She tried a threesome, and she didn't care for it. But that's a threesome. That's different than a thruple.
What about would you call it a quadruple instead of a quadruple?
We have an associate who is in a relationship like this, and I don't know if she's out about that publicly, so I don't want to say her name, but she has a primary partner and a secondary partner.
Hmm.
And
I know who you're talking about.
She's very open in her conversations with us about it, but I don't know if she wants to talk about that on air. But
would you write that name down?
Sure, but it's I'm sure you can guess as to who it is. But it's very interesting because she brought in flowers last week, and she said this is from my primary partner.
That's correct. So
there you go.
She said, I'm holding up a name right now. That's what Steve's reacting to. So she said, I love men and women equally, and so I would definitely want one man, one woman. I feel like it'd be poly fidelitous with those two people. I'm not the kind of person that is constantly looking for new sexual experiences. I focus a lot on the emotional connection. And I feel like if I were to find two people of the different genders that I really connected with and we had a romantic sexual connection, I don't feel like I would feel the need to try to go find more.
So this show is on Facebook.
It's on
Facebook.
And how old is she now?
That was my question.
Yeah. 18.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. She's really pretty.
She looks a lot like Will.
I mean, she's actually, I think, a perfect
blend of
Will and Jada.
Red Table Talk, if you want to check that out, Casey, it's on Monday noon on Facebook Watch.
I'm not going to watch it, but I feel like...
at least you entertain the notion.
No, I'm not going to.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weird for me because, I had, none of that with my mom and dad. Like,
Of openness?
There was no openness, so I'm uneasy about that.
I regularly attend swingers parties with my parents.
Yeah, it was a blast.
It's just, so to me, that open conversation is weird, yet I'm a little envious of it.
Do have open conversations with your mother about her VCR.
That's right. Yeah, keep that in mind. Some people don't like to talk about it.
They don't like to talk. Yeah. They think that's old, antiquated technology, and they prefer that you not bring it up.
Right? We have that pretty open dialogue in my household.
Yeah.
And that is part of my wife's encouragement and helps bring that out. And I think it's healthy. I mean, everybody to each his own, and everybody has their own family dynamic, but that's kind of the way we roll.
And that's totally fine. We were considered an aberration growing up because my dad, you remember the first two movies we rented?
Yeah.
Jaws and Deep Throat.
Yeah.
So it was a broad spectrum.
John Stamos. Broken his silence on his longtime friend and co-star Lori Loughlin's involvement in the college admissions scandal. During an interview with E.T., Stamos wouldn't clarify whether Loughlin would be involved in the upcoming fifth and final season of Fuller House or not.
Is Lori Loughlin going to be in the new season?
He said, I haven't been on the show yet, and it hasn't come up. So I'm going
When will you make a decision?
He said, I'm going to talk to some people about this week.
Earth people?
The Earth people and see what is going on. He said, I'm just going to wait a little bit longer before I talk about it.
What's going on with that idiot that used to say, cut it out?
Dave Coulier?
Yeah, we would like to dissect him.
You as a species would like to dissect his
body. See what went wrong. Remember that whole annoying thing about the jackalope?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Something went wrong there.
In fact, he did a voice that was similar to yours, to be honest. Yeah.
I'm a botanist.
I know, yeah. So so you'll hand that over to the biologist.
Yeah, the biology department aboard the ship.
Right.
The very same ship of pricks that abandoned me here.
E.T. got the exclusive with John Stamos. He added that it's a difficult situation for everyone involved. I don't mean just on our side.
I'd be curious how they do handle that, because I haven't watched Fuller House, but I assume Lori Loughlin is fairly prominent on
it,
right?
No, I don't think, no.
She wasn't?
No, those guys will pop in from time to time, but no, it's mainly about the girls, the daughters,
okay.
and minus Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Who never show up because they're antisocial.
Right.
Creatures now.
It's also
they almost look like chuds.
Yeah, it's also Netflix. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw her. They're, it's not a major network who
she can go away. Worry about advertisers and so on. Yeah.
Yeah,
you know what you mean.
They took off the other. She was on a series on the Hallmark Channel, and they basically gave her like a 7-second. Oh, she's spelunking now.
Right? Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, meanwhile, they have like how many shows about Ted Bundy? Now, obviously, he's not making any money off of that because two reasons.
There's Fuller Ted Bundy.
Yeah, but he's dead and whatever. But like,
and then small Ted Bundy. Yeah, small wonder. Yeah, small Ted Bundy. They actually have a robot serial killer.
Right.
Yeah.
But it, you know, so.
Mr. Belver Bundy.
I wouldn't have a problem if she was on the show.
Listen, she's until this is all resolved, it doesn't matter if she pops up periodically as a character.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. They all seem to love her.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Samuel L. Jackson is not too happy about the new Spider-Man Far From Home posters. Jackson, who plays, of course, Nick Fury, is on a new poster sporting patches on different eyes.
No!
Two patches at once or separately?
No, separately. And he called it out via Instagram. He wrote, what in the actual F is going on here? And then he had a couple of hashtags, one of them being left eye mother effa. Fans also reacted, one writing, someone wasn't interested in doing their job, Samuel. Way to call them out. Marvel has not responded to the mix-up. Spider-Man Far From Home opens on July 2nd. So I assume they just took a photo negative of sorts, an opposite
side. And it flipped, yeah.
And flipped it. Maybe they didn't really think about it. So it wasn't like he wore the patch on two different eyes. And
so which eye is it?
Took pictures. I'm pretty sure it's his left eye is the... Well, let me see. No, actually, I think it's his... Well, never mind, I think don't it's, know.
Well, you have a 50-50 shot.
You do. I was trying to think of the scene in Winter Soldier when he lifts it up and you actually see that gray eyeball.
It's his
right. I want to say it's right eye.
Yeah. Because also in Captain Marvel, they explain how he got that.
Right.
And that, I recall it being the right eye.
Because Nick is pulling up pictures and it's left and right.
It goes back and forth.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, what eye was left eye Lopez?
It was her left right eye.
Okay.
No, it was an ironic nickname, Steve, oddly enough. No, we're looking at video footage of this. Hang on a second here. It's we will tell you in just a moment because this would not be a photo. It's his left eye that is covered up. So left eye over the patch over the left eye. So
all right.
So just remember left eye Lopez and you should be good to go.
Or the L in Samuel L. Jackson.
Perfect. The left eye.
That's how you do it right there.
Ellison Wright.
Netflix announced yesterday that George Clooney is set to star and direct in its upcoming adaptation of Brooks Dalton's 2016 novel called Good Morning Midnight. And it's kind of a post-apocalyptic drama, which I'm always a fan of. Clooney is currently in pre-production on the untitled project with longtime collaborator Grant Heslov. The two previously won Best Picture Oscars as producers for the 2012 drama Argo starring Ben Affleck, which is a great movie. Clooney said in a statement, Grant and I couldn't be more excited to be involved with this incredible project. Mark is a writer long admired and the script is haunting and we're thrilled to be working with our friends at Netflix as well. But they have no release date on that as of yet. Newlyweds Chris Pratt and Katherine Schwarzenegger are currently honeymooning, and they're
I know where.
Where?
A Taco Bell hotel.
No. They're in Hawaii.
Oh.
There might be one there. I don't know. But it was 2 weeks after they tied the knot, according to People magazine, before heading to Hawaii. The two spent time with their family, including Pratt's 6-year-old son, Jack, on Father's Day. So I don't know where exactly in Hawaii they are, but they are enjoying it.
You assume it's some sort of exclusive place, right?
Yeah, maybe
they don't
maybe not a resort. They probably have a home that they've rented out, you know, that's on an area where they can be alone and not bothered by the riffraff.
I don't know. Aldo Snow stayed at a resort with, but it wasn't a honeymoon, so.
Yeah, true.
Okay.
Mandy Moore has revealed that she almost gave up on acting before landing her starring role on NBC's This Is Us. During a panel with co-star Susan Kelchi Watson this past weekend, she said, I contemplated saying, I think this is it. I think maybe the universe is giving me a sign that maybe this is not what I'm supposed to be doing.
See, life, you got to be fluid. You got to go with the flow. And here she is on a successful series.
So maybe I'm not supposed to be an actor anymore. Like, I've been incredibly lucky. I've had this really fruitful time earlier in my life. And maybe now I'm supposed to lean into something else. She said, I think at the end of the day, when I dig deep, I was like, acting is all. There was no plan B for me personally.
Shut the fuck up!
This is just that period of building, and it's that period when I know I'm going to need this as fodder and fuel for.
Was she drowsy at this point?
When I see the light again.
I think life is good. I would want to be in a series. Of mm-hmm.
So she's.
Are you okay?
Somehow or another, E.T. got in there.
You look sick.
Does she sing him at all anymore? Is she, that was all her, that's what got her to the dance, right?
I don't think she, I mean, is doing recording any longer as far as being a, you know, a pop singer or anything like that.
I know for a brief period,
she's on acting.
She was repairing truck engines.
Okay.
And that's
good to have a backup.
Yeah,
just no kidding.
Something to fall back on.
Ryan Reynolds took to Amazon under a fake name to give a review of his gin. Under the fake name Champ Nightingale.
I actually read this. It's awesome.
He wrote about aviation gin and wrote this past week, and as soon as I tried the gin, I knew right away it was amazing. It was the smoothest gin I'd ever tried and went down really easily. I had a lot. When I woke up the next day, I mentioned to my wife, Linda, that last night must have been a real blowout because I slept in my clothes. Even my shoes. I also noticed it was really hard to look out the window at the Seattle skyline, partly because of the bright sun. I've always been sensitive to light, but also because I don't live in Seattle. I live in Coral Gables, Florida. Also, it's important to note, until that morning, I'd never met anyone named Linda. He later admitted that he wrote the review himself.
So if this
he's very clever
clicks with the public, look at the money that George Clooney made off his booze.
Yeah, all you got to do is like 10% of what Clooney did and you'll be fine.
I mean, it completely eclipsed any money he's ever made from performing.
And marketing of alcohol is such a huge part of success as well. And he's got the right tools to do it.
So. But alcohol can be trendy, right? So like tequila was trendy for a little bit.
Agreed.
And then Zima is definitely trendy.
Bourbon's been on a high for a while, but I think it's starting to wane off a little bit. And I've said for the past couple of years that gin was kind of the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's starting to be, but it hasn't really hit, you know, really hard yet. Yeah. But I think he might be on the right path to success.
I know a lot of people who now claim to be gin fanciers, so we'll see what happens.
All right, and then according to TMZ, Cuba Gooding Jr. wants the DA to drop all charges against him.
Okay.
Of course he does.
Groping incident, since he accused his own words, show that she has, quote, a warped mental state. The actor's attorney filed a motion to dismiss the featured several quotes from the accusers. The accuser discussing her own mental health, which was taken from a blog. And the blog post, allegedly from the accuser, include lines like, I got diagnosed with depression, ADHD, anxiety disorder, and PTSD, and basically learned that my brain was one big fat mess. The attorneys also pointed out what they believe are factual inconsistencies on the part of the accuser, including getting her story mixed up, different time accounts, and a lack of conclusive video evidence, as well as an alleged screw-up in the way the NYPD investigated the matter. A judge has not yet ruled. A hearing is scheduled for Wednesday. So they are, you know, getting their case.
It sounds like he might have a legal recourse here.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right, we're ready for clips. And we're going to roll those out now.
Animal Kingdom features Janine Cody, the matriarch of a family that makes their living through armed robbery and other criminal acts. And here Ellen Barkin discusses why TV is the best place to work right now.
Certainly at my age, the good roles are on television and the good material is on television. The good people to work with are on television. There are exceptions, of course. I'm not getting offered them. Most women my age are not. So if I want to do work and be challenged, I'm going to go where the work is.
Shut up, dummy.
She sounds delightful.
Animal Kingdom is on tonight at 9 on TNT.
She's insane. She really is. Mm-hmm. So she's super wealthy. She married some dude, and I think they're divorced now. So she's, you know, like a millionaire many times over. But she is a really good actress.
Perlman. Ronald Perlman.
There we go.
Yeah.
I think in order to be a really good actor or actress, you have to be just a certain level of crazy.
I think so. It certainly doesn't hurt.
Yeah, in the creative world, you got to have a little bit of a, yeah. Got to be open to being a little weird.
Just a little screw loose so that you can, you know,
live inside these other people.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the next clip. The 100 features the survivors of a nuclear apocalypse returning to Earth to find that a clan is now living there. In this clip, Eliza Taylor and Bob Morley discuss the challenges that come with interpreting their script.
We never know what we're going to read.
Yeah.
Which is what makes, you know, our writers so clever and awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like, it's a challenge, which is great. We always have to kind of work hard to try and figure it out and go, okay, all right, are we going to get away with that this time?
I don't think I want to see it.
The 100 is on tonight, 9 o'clock, and that is on the CW.
It's season 51, Press.
Yeah, there you go, season 51. All right, and that is what I have in the entertainment report this morning. I want to remind you, we have Tattoos Day today. It's your chance to win a Preston and Steve themed tattoo. It's a $350 gift certificate from world famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. And all you got to do is text the word tattoo to 39333.
They do great work over there.
Yeah, and in fact, they're at 621 South 4th Street. And you can get tattooed by the area's top artists like Kyle Fitzpatrick. You can see his work on Instagram at Kyle_Fitzpatrick_ or PhiladelphiaEddie'sTattoo.com. Take a look when you get a minute. We are going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment or two in our studio today. David Harbour, the actor who portrays Hopper on Stranger Things, will be here a little bit after 9 o'clock. And Stranger Things Season 3 is hitting Netflix on July 4th. We'll be back in a moment.
Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Join Casey Boy Wednesday from 8 to 10 for the Cash Boop Party at Club Risque in Bristol for your shot to grab cash and other prizes in our Cash Boop.
Woohoo! 93.3 WMMR. Everything and everywhere that rocks.
So we got we have a cobra in Bucks County. We have flies swarming in masses in Delaware County. You throw in some locusts and frogs falling from the sky, and we're talking Old Testament.
It's stuff biblical here. Time, absolutely. Delaware will run red with blood.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we're done.
Yeah, then we're finished.
Then we get some tablets, and we started our religion. Yeah,
there you go.
It is. Watching the news yesterday, I said exactly the same thing. It's just wild. Mm-hmm. But the fly thing. Mm-hmm. So, listen, there have been times after, you know, we've had a lot of rain. So you expect the mosquito population to skip up. But, Preston, when they were showing these bags of flies that these people... Yeah.
Awful.
I mean,
I hate that sound.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fly fan to begin with, but what the hell? In the house, you put up some strips. These bags, which almost look like plasma bags, blood bags, mm-hmm. are just jam full of flies. Yeah.
So we've had for years out where I live, we have I think they're called Japanese beetles. I think that's what they are.
They do all the songs
yeah. that you want.
Yeah, the Japanese beetles.
With a bag of bug, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the difference is those things don't, they're not like flies that fly around you and swarm. They mainly stick to these plants and they eat them and they kill your plants. And that's why you put these bags out. But they fill up like huge bags full of these things. But these flies are filling up that way. And a woman who was talking to 6ABC was saying that she's going through like a bag a day. And they hold thousands of them, from what I understand.
That's disgusting.
Did you see any of the footage, Kathy?
Yes. I mean, it's gross. The one woman said she had two bags, about 20,000 flies. They were full. She was going to have to get another one.
Flies.
I just want some flies. You know, they're actually seal up nicely. They make a great gift for the lizard in your life.
The bag of flies.
Yeah, look what I got you.
Oh, my God.
But it is. So what is causing the... Is this a... It appears to be a massive increase in flies.
They don't know what it is. They said they've contacted Upper Darby Township and they haven't...
The fly hotline?
The fly hotline. No, and they haven't responded yet because probably they don't know what the hell it is.
Yeah.
They said there's really no reason for the increase, but there is, and they're saying they're normal, everyday house flies.
What's the deal with the, so with the Japanese beetles, and I remember my, we were in Manayunk, my neighbor put out one of those bags, and then we were reading a story that said the bags actually will draw them into the area.
Yep.
And so it's a double-edged sword.
Exactly.
Now, with the flies are there.
Yeah. Flies are there.
Yeah.
And by the way, somebody had texted in earlier, because we were talking about the initial news story in the news segment, Kathy, that that it smells really bad.
Yeah, I guess the traps smell bad?
That's what I thought. And,
what's going to attract a fly?
Well, hold on. The email or the message that was up on the screen here was saying that it's actually, no, it's the flies themselves that smell.
Oh,
really?
Gross.
And in fact, I had a bizarre file story. In the UK, there are these...
British flies.
Well, they're having an issue with these insects that smell really bad. They have like a rotting meat smell to them.
Like the stink bugs?
No, not like stink bugs.
Okay.
Not like that, but they put off an odor of some sort. They're swarming. They're harmless, but they're swarming. They smell really bad, and they're just causing a bit of an issue. I hate bugs.
I know that they serve a purpose, but you know, so many of them are annoying. I was hiking yesterday, and the freaking those gnats. And so I don't care where I am. I wear sunglasses because it keeps them from
Carter,
them from your eyes.
Weren't you at my son is here in the studio. Weren't you at practice yesterday or something like that? And you said that the gnats were flying in your eyes.
Oh yeah, they were just all in my eyes. Like I got at least three or four right in my eyes.
That's annoying as hell, the little bastards. And if you walk along, I guess they've all mastered the art of flying backwards because they just hang right with you.
Yeah. I was down the shore this weekend playing miniature golf, and the golf course was fine. But there was like two or three holes that were set back a little bit closer to the marshes, and that's where the bugs were the issue. But once you got away from that, that was fine.
So,
and flies down the shore are the worst because they actually bite you.
Well, the greenheads, right? Yeah. Oh, my God, I hate those things.
Yeah, they're disgusting.
I hate them.
If you're going to get a land breeze, it's like, it'll ruin
a beach day.
A beach day.
Yeah.
So remember, there was a while ago we talked about... there are different tricks to keep, to repel flies. Was it flies or bees?
Flies.
I'm losing track of
all
the...
Are you talking about the bag of water?
Bag of water, yes. Does that work?
Apparently, that's what I've heard.
People swear by it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seems like a hex or something like that to me.
Like you're suddenly, you just left Hogwarts and you have a new spell for getting rid of flies.
But for some reason, some people, like Kathy was saying, they swear by it.
Well, so do you know anybody who has, is having to put out the bag of flies? Because...
Oh, no, I don't know anyone in Delaware County.
No, it's mainly just Upper Darby, Drexel Hill.
They said,
lands
down to Drexel Hill.
Yeah, and I'm just...
That's kind of a bizarre area just to concentrate in.
I guess they were looking at like where the bags were hanging because everyone has them in their backyard, and they said it's creating an eyesore as well.
Right. Yeah, I'm just a town over from Drexel Hill. But I have a mosquito shield, and I obviously takes care of mosquitoes and ticks, but I don't know if
it would help with this.
It takes care of anything else.
We should ask them.
Yeah. You know, I'd buy like a pyro set from like a rock band and just occasionally
just shoot flames shoot up out of the ground.
I have a good time, people!
I love that. And now word is how I have the spotted lantern fly issue in Montgomery County. We're under quarantine. Apparently that is spreading now.
Well, it's like completely destroying crops.
Don't they travel on vehicles and things like that?
They said they hitch rides
those
on vehicles.
Those little bastards.
There was on board.
I didn't even know they had thumbs.
I don't know exactly where it was, but, it was a guy who had planted, he owned a winery and he was just starting it up, and they were like on par to be, you know, like ready to go this summer and because it takes a few years.
Yeah.
And the spotted lantern flies destroyed it. He's like complete, like not
he's in ruins.
In ruins, not one grape remains.
Yeah. So that's a relatively new thing, the spotted lantern deal, right?
They
like
said the
3 years
they
ago.
They said the past 5 years. They said it came over 5 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. And we've got, we had, so you know, you mentioned an advertiser. I'll mention one too. Mm-hmm. Tara Lawn Care was the one who took care of my area. So I haven't seen any of them yet so far this year. Which
and
is
they
great.
Take care of the spotter and lander flies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They rehabilitate them and teach them trades.
They do. Oh, so man. That they're productive members
right.
of society.
Many
so.
Of them now work in the financial industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one picture you posted last year, I almost died. Yeah. I could not believe that you had that many.
I love nature, but I hate it at the same
seriously.
Time.
Seriously, yes.
There's so much. Now, I get it, but these are things that are out of whack. Now, they're in concerning the flies, they're actually introducing a particular type of fish into ponds. Did you see this?
No.
So in ponds in the area that are affected because they eat.
Oh my God.
All the and it, so it's like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Where you get the you know, you get the cat to kill the mouse, you get the dog to kill the cat, you get a lion to kill the dog,
you get the
and
elephant.
The next thing you got an elephant,
and then you get a mouse to scare away the elephant.
Exactly. That's what's happening. I detest flies. Any flies get in the house? We have had for the longest time. We haven't had it up in a couple of years though. But we had a scoreboard. I made it a contest in the house of whoever, you know, who, if you kill the fly, you got to put a, you know, a little hash mark up next to your name on the scoreboard, and it made it into a contest because it was driving me crazy. We just kept getting flies in our house. We have a pull out back and we keep the door open from time to time. But you were over at my house, Steve. You saw the
magnetic thing I've seen on TV, which I'm fascinated with.
The netting that goes over your door. It works.
Wait, what is it?
So it's like 12
screen
magazine. So when you go through, it opens up and then it immediately closes, like, because it's, you Velcro it to your doorway,
yeah,
right?
It's like a net that's a curtain.
So you just push it open when you walk out,
right,
and then it immediately goes back?
In the middle,
back?
It's held together with magnets, and you just open it up and you go out, and it clicks back together when you
even the,
go through.
Like the dog can go through it, no problem.
And it has
and robbers can go through it. Just incredibly easy.
It's kept the flies out. So it's, you know, there's a bunch of different ones that you can get, but I was... My wife got it. I'm like, oh, we need to get a screen door, honey. This thing is not going to work. And sure enough, it works.
This is the first thing when I got to your house. I turned to Rochelle and goes, does that work?
I recommend it to you. Let's see. I'm going to go to a couple of calls here. I have Mary on the line. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Mary?
You were talking about the spotted lantern flies.
Yes.
I work out near Kutztown.
Okay.
I'm actually on my way home now. We actually have to check our vehicles before we leave the parking lot because it started out in Berks County.
Wow! So you're obeying the essentially the quarantine. You're checking to make sure that they're not going with you.
Yeah, we actually, it is company policy for us to actually check the vehicles before we leave.
Wow. Isn't that crazy?
Wow!
And so they're part of your ride share program.
they actually have to check the tractor trailers.
Wow. Do you find them from time to time on your vehicle?
On my vehicle, yeah. In our building, because I work at a battery factory.
Yeah.
Batteries.
We'll actually walk through to go outside, and the whole hallway is covered with them.
So this is a legitimate, I mean, this can throw the whole ecosystem out of whack, and it's starting to do that. Obviously, Kathy, you said it basically eradicated a vineyard.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's good that she's following the rules of checking. Could you imagine having to go out and check your car for bugs? And then what do you do?
Yeah, I couldn't believe how bad it was.
They smash them.
Yeah.
No, they flat out tell you, kill them.
Kill them!
If you see them, kill them!
You see what he says, you gotta kill him.
And they actually put like a...
Go outside to my Prius. Gonna check it for landing flies. If I see one, I'm gonna kill it.
Do you have the Delco drop, Casey?
Death is coming for you. He destroyed my vineyard. Rambo wine is no more thanks to you. Delco! He's got like an earwig and a chair. You know, tied up. Where are you, buddy?
He's interrogating him.
Where are the lantern flies?
I couldn't believe how bad it was. My son had a soccer game at in the beginning of the fall last year, and we were out in that area. Because what is it called again?
Spotted lantern fly. Yeah.
Hasn't made its way into Delco just yet.
It's coming.
Spotted
lantern fly is coming for you. I'll tell you this, though. Now, they're saying with that this, we're looking at what could be a really horrific year for the mosquitoes. And the subject came, I was talking with my wife gets savaged by mosquitoes. I don't. Do you
completely 100%. Like, I can't go outside without, if the bugs are bad, I will know immediately.
Is it a fact that certain people draw flies.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Wait, flies or
mosquitoes?
Yeah,
smelly people.
Yes, generally.
But is it a? If that is, do you think it's rooted in like pheromones? Or
I think it's a pheromone thing.
Okay,
I do.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I think that people. Yeah, there are people that get it more than others.
It's got to be the pheromone.
I'm gonna go to Rich. Hi, Rich. Good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up?
What's happening? Yeah, I was telling your screener. I'm a truck driver, and we're required now to carry, like, papers if we go into a quarantine zone such as Monco, Bucks Code, areas of Delaware County, even as far as Newcastle County, that if we load our truck and trailer, we got to walk around it before and after. If we go to a certain spot, we actually have to document if we see them, if we kill them, if we just everything. Like,
wow. Rich, is this the first time you've ever had to do anything like this in your trucking career? It's crazy.
I just became an entomologist, apparently.
you're getting your degree, whether you like it or not. I mean, when I hear it, Rich, and Preston, it starts to bring into mind, you know, like The Stand and these, you know, these erratic things that are happening, you know, quarantined areas.
Preston said they will kill trees with, like, and then we're not even in the worst of it. Next, yep. I think August is when they start flying. Now they're just hitching rides on things. But then, like, they showed us, we've actually got pictures in our trucks, like, each stage of the larvae to the full grown, what to look for. It's ridiculous.
That is weird.
Thanks, Rich. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Take care.
You're right, because I remember the first time that I heard about him and saw him was when football season was starting, because my daughter's a cheerleader.
Right.
And I remember seeing them when they were out of practice. So, yeah, August, that makes sense. Uh-huh. That's when they're going to start popping up.
Well, listen, if we need to, we'll offer our services. If we need to check the Eagles cheerleaders for lantern flies, we'll do that. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the flies, let me go to Heather here. Hi, Heather, good morning.
Nanapu, yeah.
What's up, Heather?
Well, this whole fly situation is bull F.
Really?
Yes.
You don't you say you're mad at it, or you don't believe it's happening?
Oh, it's happening. However, I'm in Wallingford, and about a couple of a month ago, Memorial Day weekend, for some reason, we just, our house, and it was like an explosion of flies. You kill 3 of them, and then 12 more appear.
Oh, my God.
Like Hydra.
Like Hydra.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're huge, and so I...
Flydra. Yeah, Hydra.
Huh?
I said
Flydra.
Flydra. Let me ask you, so at its densest, are you literally like in a swarm of flies?
Yes. So I'm a nanny where I live, and I am like in the kitchen cooking or doing laundry, and I have over my shoulder like a dish towel, and I do like a whap.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was some sort of an assassin. It was awesome. I was like, they were dropping like flies.
Oh, I know that. And let me tell you something. There is a level of satisfaction, I remember having an apartment, Preston, where we had something. They were doing work in pipes outside or whatever the hell happened, and suddenly we had an infestation of flies in the house. Mm-hmm. And I don't – when you hit a fly, and do you sometimes see like a red
– I
think if they're the blood-sucking flies.
I don't know.
I want to say
I have before, maybe horse flies or something like that.
It looked
God,
like
I hate those things.
A mini massacre in our house all over the walls, because you'd have to clean – you'd hit them and kill them. But there'd be like a little blood dab.
I'll tell you what's satisfying is when you get one in mid-flight.
Oh, yeah.
Whack right out of the air.
I'm taking you down.
That's right.
Death is coming to you.
You do feel a bit
like
a predator or like a, an assassin, as Heather
was
saying.
I'll take care of this.
Yeah.
You got issues. I was rocking 2 fly swatters.
Yeah.
I was almost becoming a drummer, Preston.
Nice.
I was Gene Krupa by the end of the evening.
I have an electric fly swatter that I haven't used all that much, but Chuck D'Amico was using one a couple of weeks ago, and he didn't think it was working. So he zapped himself. He said he got himself pretty good.
Dude, really? you can kick up quite a little charge.
Yep, yeah.
I had one of those at one point.
It looks like a little tennis racket.
Yeah, we either broke it or just kind of, fizzled out. They're kind of cheaply made.
When you have flies in your house and like they land on food or something like that, I can't.
Like, man.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that some mosquitoes actually do prefer some type of people over others? Blood type has something to do with it. So if you have,
I've heard that. I just always thought that was kind of a wild.
What do they say is a popular type, Nick?
This is according to Time Magazine. It's an article from 2014. But blood type O attracts more mosquitoes than others, A or B blood types. So, Steve, your theory about it, you know, your wife getting chewed up more than you, it might depend on her blood type.
Do you know what your blood type is?
I think, you know, I Preston, every year they tell me my blood type and I forget. It's a good kind, though, and it seems to work.
I remember mine only because it's B positive, and I think of that attitude. B positive.
B.
Mine's an A positive, and I know that because I've never, it's the only A plus I've ever gotten in my life. So,
but those are the ways to remember. Remember, mine's unexciting.
You know what, speaking of mosquitoes and all this stuff, you know, I absolutely used to cringe. It's an old commercial, and I couldn't even stand watching it. It was for Off bug spray.
Oh, yes.
And they would stick their arm inside that container full of mosquitoes, and you'd watch them all land and attack the unaffected or the arm that hadn't been treated.
Right.
And then they go, and then they spray it on.
And the guy had a lot of hair on his arm.
And they never land on him. I always hated that.
Yeah, it's a little gross.
The idea of it. And I, you know what, bug spray, I hate bug spray.
It's got to be good for you. You're spraying chemicals along your body to kill bugs. How could it not be good for you?
Mom would have a heart attack if you put that stuff on.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you ever use Skin So Soft? That was a bug spray that we would use quite a bit.
But my mom would use that as sort of a home. It worked.
Yeah.
You know what? We would eat Pop-Tarts filled with citronella, and that would take care of it. Yeah.
And does citronella work?
It never works.
I don't think it works.
It's a crock of crap.
Sometimes you find the dead mosquitoes in the burning
citronella. They're eating. They're there with little napkins on. You burn those stupid candles. Here you go. Here's the commercial.
Look, they're showing the commercial. The dude getting bit by a thousand mosquitoes. Arm. Show it again for
one
Kathy.
One more time.
Oh man, I can't see.
I will say, Preston.
That.
I do use.
Here, look.
Oh, gross.
Isn't that? How That's could disgusting. That man volunteer to do that? I'm sorry.
Well, because he's getting paid 70 cents.
Yeah. No. It was back in the 50s.
I have citronella plants in my backyard, though, to try to help. I don't know if it does, but we do plant them.
So if this commercial, Preston, as much as it repelled you, it seemed to be effective, how much more convinced would you have been had he have stuck his junk through that opening?
Well, what, that he had sprayed it first with Off? Watch this.
Yeah, right. They're going to put that on TV.
I think so. In the 50s, they were a lot more liberal. They would always show frontal nudity.
Just to prove a point.
Yeah. I was amazed. I climbed Mount Washington last year, and unfortunately,
boaster,
at about 5,000 feet up, I had to go to the bathroom. There was nothing I could do about it. Big potties.
Okay.
And
there's
now
a second mountain.
There is a second. So I had to go off trail just ever so slightly. I had like these bamboo green wipes that I had with me. Anyway, I did my business, and by the time I was all cleaned up and everything like that, and pants up, there were 100 flies on it. And we were so...
Were they being respectful and waiting?
They waited. They didn't ask.
Are you done?
They didn't ask. But I was just like, dude, I'm a mile high right now. Like, and where the hell were you this whole time? So I kind of...
How do they know so quickly?
Right?
How do they know? When my dog takes a dump, how do they know? I mean...
And where are they?
And where... That telecommunication system is far superior to ours.
Yes.
That alert...
It's what they live for. They just, you know.
Hot spit!
Yeah, they know.
They don't have much else, really.
That's interesting. So by the time you got cleaned up, you looked down, there were flies on it?
Hundreds of them.
Wow, hundreds?
He counted.
Maybe dozens.
One of those clickers when people are going into a nightclub.
I was like, no, stay right there. Stay right there. I just counted you.
Guys, pair off. I'm recounting people.
All right, maybe not hundreds, but definitely
thousands.
Dozens.
Yeah. Definitely dozens. Hang on a second. Let me go. Speaking of the vineyard, we have a guy on line two here. If you could put them on hold, I'm going to go to him real quick here because we have Sam. Hi, Sam. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up?
We had a grape vine that we planted over 20 years ago, and it gave us shade in our backyard pool area, and it's about 20 feet by 12 feet. And
these are grapes. I'm sorry, your phone broke up at the beginning there. It's a grape vine.
Yeah, grapevines that we put over a trellis area near our pool.
Okay.
And it's 16 foot by 20 foot, basically. But the lantern bugs last year completely destroyed it.
Wow.
And this year we had to cut it back. We saw them 2 years ago, and they're little tiny black and white bugs. And we were surprised to see them. We didn't know what they were. And then when we started to do some research on it, we found out what they were, and we treated them. But last year, there were so many of them, they destroyed our grapevine. We had to cut it back. We were really discouraged about it.
Yeah.
Because it took us a long time to get it like that. But they love grapes, and they completely destroy them.
Yeah, all right. Like Kathy was saying, she knew somebody, their entire vineyard was destroyed. So they're a force to be reckoned with. Yeah, so
destroyed my grapes.
We got to send in Rambo.
Rambo. Wow, that is, you know, listen, that's, it's... The process of these things, and I wouldn't be that observant to notice them. I know my wife will go and go, oh, there's this kind of bug on the plant. I never noticed that stuff. Mm-hmm. When they were at your house and we heard they were like around the tree, would you have noticed that? Would you have known what that was? Had no one.
Well, I could see them when they're actually not on the trees. They're kind of hard to see, but when they would land on the, our house is white on the siding part of it, and they would land, they'd be all over.
Oh, that's disgusting.
And you could see it. They were just clearly just hanging out, and you could see them all over the place, Steve. It was obvious that there was, you know, something going on.
Do these treatments take care of, like that you guys have for your lawn? So does it take care of, or will it take care of lantern flies as well?
Or? Well, you have to specifically get that treatment, I think. So,
right.
Yeah.
I'll take care of it.
Thank you. Come on. Can you bring the exploding arrows, please?
Yeah.
Is that what the kids
say?
Some excitement. So
we're gonna get bloody on this.
Let me go to one last call. We have Scott, who's a bio major. He did all kinds of stuff with mosquito breeding habits. Hot.
Jeez, what? Like
Scott, you're on the air, buddy.
He did the Casey thing, lantern flies.
Ah, yeah. I can barely hear you.
How are you?
Good. You have a terrible phone connection, unfortunately. Are you on speakerphone?
No, I'm not, actually. I have a terrible phone service.
You have terrible phone service. All right. Okay, go ahead.
What do you want to tell us?
All right, so I graduated Arcata University with my bio degree, and one of our experiments was actually breeding mosquitoes. So we had these things out back of our Arcata University, you know, tarps that you put on, like, cars and everything, as well as old rubber tires to fill with water. So what these do is when you fill them up with water and leave them out in the heat, mosquitoes love this. This is a hotbed for...
I've heard tires specifically.
Standing water in a tire.
Yeah,
yes, absolutely.
So we would check it every so often, and we would just see millions of mosquitoes out there. They love to lay their eggs in there because their eggs become more pliable. They help the growth of the egg itself.
Well, the neighbors must have loved this experiment.
Oh, yeah, right?
Seriously.
Oh, they're doing wonderful things with mosquitoes next door.
Yeah. So this is why it's been such a problem with flies, with how much wet weather we've been having, because a lot of these places, you'll see puddles everywhere.
And that's it. Yeah,
standing water.
A little standing water.
Yeah.
Then they moved on to breeding cobras.
Exactly.
All right, Scott, your phone line is so bad.
Get a new phone.
Get a new phone. You're a bio major. You can afford it, I guess, unless you didn't get your degree. Anyway, so we've got this fly infestation, which is happening in Drexel Hill and Upper Darby in this area. We have a cobra that was killed in Bucks County.
A freaking cobra!
We got the lanternfly infested. Yeah, by a grandmother.
Well, Stallone was cobra pressed.
You're right. Oh, my God. He was cobra.
You're the disease. I'm the cure.
And we got the lanternfly infestation in, you know, the certain counties that it's taken over. And now we're going to have a bumper crop of mosquitoes this year. So it should be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And, of course, there's the greenheads at the shore. And, oh, what a joy. What a joy it all is. So just a heads up on that. Listen, I want to, as we are going to take a break, mention the fact, and I'm going to hit this pretty hard, that we have our Belly Flop Championship coming up on the 11th of July. And we need people to sign up for it. We've got a number of contestants signed up, but what we are lacking are ladies, because we want to do Battle of the Sexes. We want to see some ladies do some belly flopping. And it's all about the style. It's not necessarily about being, you know, making this gigantic splash. A lot of people think you have to be like a big person to be... In the belly flop contest.
Not so
at all.
Many times we've had people win who I would say were slight of build.
Were skinny.
Yes.
So we need some ladies, because we have one girl signed up so far.
And it looks like she's going to win.
She's going to win the whole thing, the $500 and the Rolling Stones tickets. We have prizes for male and female, and we need you on board. So the details are at events at WMMR.com. Wednesday, July 3rd is the deadline. And we're going to head to the Valley Beach Poolside Club at Valley Forge Casino Resort. And there, lots of people come out. We have a great time. There's music, there's drinks, and obviously you can swim before and after the event as well at the Valley Beach Club.
And tomorrow, are we going to reveal some of the judges? There's going to be a media presence there, from what I understand, correct?
Yeah, are we doing that tomorrow? I haven't heard anything about
it. You mentioned
tomorrow.
You wanted to do it this Wednesday, but I don't know if that's changed.
I guess I did. I don't remember that. So we'll do what we can. Announce some people who are helping us out with that. But the details are at events at WMMR.com. So get signed up for that now because we want you to win that stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, come back, and we'll get into the Bizarre File story. So don't stray too far.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
La-di-da-di-da-di-da. Beat! We're just being inundated.
I don't know why I didn't play that clip earlier when we were talking about the infestations all in and around the area. By the way, speaking of Casey, which we did with that clip right there, if you would like to see one of our Daily Rush videos that I laughed so hard at, I just was getting cramps in my abdominal muscles, it's called Fart Fart. And it's on PrestonandSteve.com, and I'm telling you, it was just, I was crying, I was laughing so hard.
It caught us, it was something that came out of the blue, and we had no idea, and then it just kept getting funnier for some of us.
Yeah, for some
others
of us.
Just sat idly by, but it was really so freaking funny.
Yep, so that video is available now. At PrestonandSteve.com. And there's also a new one, and it's titled Bed Bugs. There's another bug thing.
Enough of this crap.
Says, we thought there was a bed bug infestation at the station, and Kathy loses her mind. You can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com. Sponsored by Punchline Philly Comedy Club, Restaurant, and Bar. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
And the B-File this morning is brought to you by A.D. Moyer. A.D. Moyer Lumber is celebrating 80 years of supplying quality building materials and service. Four generations, one family, one commitment. You can learn more at admoyer.com. Several people were injured in the German capital on Friday evening when a man peed off of a bridge onto a tour boat. And the sprinkle of urine from overhead. Listen to this. So you think that, okay.
This is pee.
You think these people got injured from the pee. No. The sprinkle of urine from overhead caused a commotion on the boat as it passed under the low-clearance Janowitz Bridge in Berlin. And when the pee hit them, several people jumped up and hit their heads on the bridge as the boat passed under the 12-foot bridge spanning the Spree River. So that's how they actually got injured, by this guy peeing on them. Four people were taken by ambulance to the hospital for lacerations to the head. Police filed assault charges against the man and described his actions as abnormal behavior. They are currently
searching. You mean because he peed off the bridge onto people?
For his whereabouts. Yes, exactly. Man, listen to this. An Alabama man was electrocuted while attempting to steal power from a utility pole. Sheriff Matthew Wade identified the victim as Randall Stevens, 56 years old.
I can do this.
Stevens was released from the county jail on May 16th. He had been serving time since October of 2018 for gun and drug charges. Now, Stevens' death was discovered after his skull was found in a neighbor's front yard on Friday.
Oh, my God.
He was a prisoner named Randall Stevens?
Yeah.
That's the fictional name in Shawshank. That's the name that Tim Robbins' character invents.
No way.
Yeah, I wonder if
I did not know that. All right, so, but this guy's real name is, from what I understand, this is a legit story. It's from AL.com.
So are we believing that his flesh was seared off?
Well, his skull was found in a neighbor's front yard on Friday. The rest of his body was found badly decomposed at the bottom of a power pole.
That was my skull!
A ladder was next to the pole along with a belt and jumper cables at the top.
I bet he's embarrassed.
Investigators determined that Stevens was attempting to illegally power his home by jumping the power lines. The sheriff's office doesn't know when Stevens died, but told AL.com that he believes it happened shortly after he was released from jail.
It's just nature taking care of itself.
Isn't that wild? Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Since her disappearance on May 24th, Connecticut police have worked diligently to try to locate Jennifer Dulos, a mother of five. However, her estranged husband has revealed that he is a little more suspicious of the situation than the authorities. Jennifer Dulos' ex-husband, Fotis Dulos, and his girlfriend, Michelle Traconis, were originally arrested in June when police discovered possible evidence tampering and attempts to hinder prosecution. Now, the arrest stemmed from surveillance footage found of the pair discarding items that were found to have Jennifer's blood on it.
Huh.
So they think that there's foul play here and that these two
are
involved.
Seems that way.
But listen to this. Police also found Fotis Dulos' DNA in Jennifer's home after conducting another search of the premise. Now, premises. Since their arrest, the pair pleaded not guilty to the charges and has been out on bail. Police also began focusing searches for Jennifer around properties Dulos oversees as a real estate developer. However, Dulos and his attorney are now claiming that Jennifer may have staged her own disappearance. The accusation was made on Sunday when Dulos' lawyer, Norman Pattis, had claimed that his office found a mystery novel that Jennifer had written that was reminiscent of the book-turned-movie Gone Girl.
Huh.
The fiction thriller Gone Girl by author Gillian Flynn follows a mysterious woman around who stages her own disappearance in an attempt to frame her husband for her murder as revenge for wronging her. Pattis claims that the book Jennifer was writing is very similar to Gone Girl and may have served as inspiration for Jennifer to get back at Dulos.
Well, that's interesting.
He said, "We have been provided a very dark 500-plus page novel," Jennifer wrote. We don't know what had become of Jennifer, but the Gone Girl hypothesis is very much on our mind. The statement also revealed that representatives for Dulos are now investigating $14,000 of medical bills Jennifer had accrued before she disappeared. Lawyers for Jennifer's mother, Gloria Farber, argued in the New York Post that this is a classic act of desperation to slander the victim on the part of her ex-husband. So, very weird. I don't know. But
it'd be a lot easier if they had her skull.
Yeah, wouldn't it, though?
Yeah.
Why can't they go to the other dude? The Walker County Sheriff's Office says that it has broken up a plan by two jail inmates to detonate bombs inside the courthouse, killing members of the sheriff's department and court system. This is terrifying.
Jeez.
Now, the plot, here's the twist on it. And the plot involved two inmates who had given themselves the code names Pinky and the Brain.
Man, Pinky and the Brain.
Working together to create several
I want to be Patrick. You can be SpongeBob.
They wanted to create several ammonium nitrate fuel bombs. Charged with four counts of making a terrorist threat were inmate Brian Wayne Williams and inmate Terry Keith Hammond. The plan was for one of the men to bond out of jail, gather the items needed for the bombs, and instructions on how to create the devices. The primary targets were four sheriff's department commanders and investigators, Walker County judges, and the district attorney. Secondary targets were the sheriff's office itself and the public defender's office. Hammond, by the way, was the owner and operator of radio station WQJJ 101.9 Fox FM.
Wow.
So I guess the radio business
part of my plan to rule the world.
Didn't treat him very well. They've been out on $500,000 cash bond. One last story. Milwaukee police say a 20-year-old man accidentally shot himself when he thought he was about to get robbed. I think this guy, in more ways than one, pulled the trigger a bit early. Authorities say the man was walking in a residential area about 12:30 a.m. Saturday when he saw two people walking toward him. Police say that's when the man pulled out a gun and accidentally shot himself.
They were simply walking towards him?
Yes. And I guess
on a residential street?
He just assumed that they were going to rob him.
Of course. Why not?
So he
shot
himself.
Might as well shoot him. Yeah.
He distracted him.
Well, maybe he thought he gained sympathy by shooting himself.
The man was taken to the hospital to be treated, and police say the gunshot wound was not life-threatening. And there you go. That's what I got in the B-file for you this morning. All right. Am I giving away another one of these?
Yeah, why not?
All right, I have a $50 gift card for Pink's that I can give to you. This time we'll take caller number 12 at 215-263-WMMR. Pink's hot dogs are here this morning. King of Prussia Food Court inside of King of Prussia Mall. 20 varieties of hot dogs, wide variety of burgers as well. So let's set you up with that. Go ahead and give us a call. We're going to take a break. Come back in just a moment. Don't forget David Harbour, a little over an hour from now. You know him as Hopper from Stranger Things, and season 3 is coming out on Netflix July 4th. He'll be here to help promote that event. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Not only can you
hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
In a little while, not going to do it right now, but in a little while we'll have Spider-Man Far From Home movie passes at screenings tomorrow night. So if you want to win those, you want to stay close, we'll have your chance to get that. And Pink's also from King of Prussia. Amazing hot dogs and more. And we'll do some giveaways with those guys being here too. So get set for that. In the meantime, Nick saw something that's worth pointing out. John Clark, our buddy, sports yes. aficionado, has been by here for years and years and years, posted on his Twitter account yesterday about one of the Phil's utility players, a guy named Brad Miller. And he was in the locker room and he said, Brad Miller told me that he brought the luck, the lucky bamboo today in Philly. He believed that it would end the losing streak. So he has a little bamboo plant and he brought it into the locker room. And he said, this will bring us some wins. I can feel it. And John said, if you win tonight, he said, when we do, every Philly will have bamboo in their locker tomorrow. So we'll see if that ends up happening
well,
or not.
Well, it's only crazy if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it worked last night.
Yeah.
And so I would hope that every Philly in their locker today has a bamboo plant.
Well, is bamboo lucky?
I have no idea.
To him it is. I'll tell you, and Nick, I'm forgetting the name of the player, but he brought in a bag of flies.
It's the guy that lives in Delco.
Yeah, the guy from Delco brought in a bag of flies. I tell you, you know, it was obviously it was a seismic event because it was a shift. It was as bleak as could be, but to have that happen, I wouldn't screw with the bamboo.
And the
stick with it.
The Phillies were having fun with it because they changed their Twitter handle last night, yesterday, to Four Leaf Clover. On their account, they posted a penny with the head up. And there was one other. Oh, a ladybug. A ladybug, I guess, is also good luck. So the Phillies were trying anything. And they're in the middle of a 7-game losing streak. And as you guys know, athletes and ballplayers in particular can be very superstitious.
Let me ask you, how so in matters like that, Preston, when no one's looking or whatever, if you pass by a quarter that's on the ground, if it's tails up, do you pick it up?
Yeah.
Do you think about it for a second?
Yeah. I have, as of the last few years, kind of bailed on all superstitions.
Yeah, you fully embrace Santeria.
No, that's not true at all. Okay. I've bailed on all superstitions. It has dawned on me that, and jinxes and things like that.
Jinxes.
You know, so if you say, wow, what a beautiful day.
Right.
Oh, dude, don't say that. You know, we got a party today or whatever. It's going to I've realized that in logic, that whatever I have said or done has absolutely zero consequences whatsoever in the outcome of the weather, of a sporting event, and all these. I mean, it's nothing. Nothing at all. So I've realized it, and I don't care about it anymore.
All right. Do you do anything that in any way you think is a ritual that it comes to mind?
Nothing, like, for example, comes to mind right now. I have had many in my life, absolutely, but I've just kind of bailed on them. If I come up with something, I will let you know.
I mean,
there's still something lingering that I do and don't even really think about
What's the difference between a ritual for you and a tradition? Because you end every show with Rage On, but that's not superstitious.
No, that's
just sort of a traditional thing.
Yeah,
but you do it every show.
I wanted a tagline.
That's your tagline.
And there's also been days when you've forgotten to do it, and it didn't. Your career wasn't.
No,
destroyed.
That's not true. We took a huge dip in the ratings every time you forgot to say it. Yeah.
I don't think you've ever. Have you?
He's
noticed?
Always said.
Yeah. No, he's forgotten a couple days.
Really?
Yeah,
on a rare occasion.
Rare occasion. Maybe. It's not often.
Okay. all right. I'm a little superstitious. Yep. And I understand that it's ridiculous. I'm also like, all right,
you're
so
a lot superstitious.
I'm very super.
When it comes to sports, for
I'm
sure.
super duperstitious.
You're like, but I mean, that's the way you are, and that's fine.
There is something at my home though that I'm. It's not superstition. It's more of like an OCD thing. And
the pentagram with the candles.
It is not a pentagram with candles. There is. like a double light switch that is in my laundry room.
Okay, go ahead.
And I can't have, they have to either both be turned up or both be turned down. I can't.
That's OCD. I think that's more OCD.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. Yeah, that's what I said. I said OCD.
I do the same thing as well. So I'm much more. Preston, I was thinking yesterday, and Casey, to that point, I'm very equalizer in you know, I put things down and I even them off, you know, like, and that's, he was very much that. And I feel weird if things aren't lined up properly.
I don't like peeing in the left stall in our bathroom. And sometimes when I go in there, it like sets me off. Like, I'm like, oh man, this isn't the stall that I go to the bathroom in.
I've seen you take a dump in the latrine just to avoid the stall. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense to you. Does it not?
But now you can't find it. So your ritual is always the left stall.
No, the right stall.
The right stall.
The right stall. And when somebody is going to the bathroom, I'm like, I gotta wait.
Why did why that one in particular?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
I don't know, right. But ever since I...
Because I like the right stall because the toilet sits a little lower to the ground. And
I'm talking about the urinal, sorry.
Oh, the urinal.
Yeah, yeah. That's the difference.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think they're both exactly the same. Wow, that's weird.
Let me tell you something, Preston. Okay. You can back this up. Down by the Fanatic, that bathroom, the smaller stall... the toilet is way down low.
I like that.
And whenever you flush, if you do a complimentary flush, you're going to get your nuts spray cleaned.
Yeah.
The jet on that thing is so powerful.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of hoist yourself
up. Raise up a little bit.
Yeah.
By the way, I like those smaller stalls back there. I feel like veal when I'm in those things.
Yeah.
I feel just kind of, I don't know.
You're cozy.
Well, you're cozy.
Cozy, yeah. I like it that way. Hang on a second here. I have Jim... runs Chester County Bamboo. Oh. And we have him as our bamboo aficionado on the line. Hi, Jim. Good morning.
Preston, how you doing? It's John.
Oh, I'm sorry, John. What's up, buddy?
Here's the deal, man. I love the Phillies, and I love that we're going to start winning. Here's the problem. This is not bamboo.
What is it?
Oh, my God.
It's in the Lily family. It's not a bamboo plant.
Oh, so you saw a picture of it?
No, I saw it last night, and I saw it this morning, and I just wanted to clarify before we get on the bamboo train.
You're saying it's a lily plant? Is that what you said?
That is correct. It's in the lily family.
Oh, my God. They're going to lose?
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. I did not know that. By the way, real quick, John, is bamboo considered lucky?
To the Asian cultures, absolutely. That would actually be black bamboo, which is Phyllostachys nigra. Okay. He's considered lucky.
He knows his stuff. Yeah, at least he's making up some good stuff.
I cannot tell a lie.
Okay.
Understood.
Yeah. To tell you the truth, with this stupid bamboo thing, Sean, from the Phillies, I wish I wouldn't have known about it until maybe they win 10 in a row.
Right.
Well, it's like, okay, like, you got to get off the schneid.
That's what the intent on this one was like, everything that they're doing is not working.
Right.
So we'll try anything to get off the losing streak.
Yeah. Right.
And this was not more about keeping the winning streak going. We got to try something new to get out of this losing streak.
Breaking the losing streak.
Right. But is this like their attempt at the Gloria? Play Gloria?
Yeah. Totally. Absolutely.
Play bamboo.
And if this happens, you're going to see little bamboo gardens popping up in yards and
pandas. You
know, all kinds of things like that. By the way, the bamboo grows like crazy around this area. It gets out of control.
Well, that's why on the Wissahickon Trail, there is a part of it where you go through and you're like in a bamboo forest.
Yeah. Really?
It is super. That's what I bought my machete for. Yeah. Remember I bought a machete a while ago?
Yeah, it's to chop
through it.
It's a weed. My neighbor had it in his yard, but it didn't start in his yard. It started in his neighbor's yard.
It just
grew over. But
totally resilient.
When it comes to like hardwood flooring, like bamboo flooring is considered green. Because you're not like, you know, killing rainforests as a result. You're just, you know, because it grows like a weed.
You're killing something else.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's not actually a weed. You're just calling it that because it's a nuisance?
No, it grows like a weed. But the Casey's right. I mean, if you don't put in metal barriers, if you plant bamboo in your yard, if you don't put metal barriers down in the yard itself, it'll spread everywhere like it did into your neighbors and then the neighbor's neighbors.
Maybe my neighbor tried had to bring in a backhoe to pull out.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's how deep it went. And that's to just take out all the land that had the bamboo on it.
Some people will plant it to have as cover because it grows so thick that you can use it to obscure, you know, sight lines and things like that.
And to keep the lantern flies out.
And that too. I don't know if they like them or not, but... it can get out of control. So they need to keep that in mind because the Phillies locker room could be a forest before we know it, just filled with bamboo plants.
I can't find anybody.
Wow. Well, whatever, man. You know, listen, if you go back to Bull Durham, you know, there's the whole thing where they talk about superstitions, and he's you know, giving Annie a hard time, saying, look, if you believe that you're winning because you're having sex or not having sex, then you are.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you should respect the streak. And so when it comes to players and people that are actually participating in these things, if they want to have superstitions and it works for them, then I'm cool with that.
Bets for bets.
But like me, as you know, just an observer, it's to make you feel like you're a part, like you're doing something, I think. But it has zero effect on the reality of it all.
Like it starts young. Like the rally hats, you'll see professional baseball players, you know, turn their hat on inside out if they're having like a good inning or something like that. And that's, you know, like my kids' baseball team does that. You know, they'll turn their hat inside out, or they'll wear the hat like a shark fin or something like that.
Right. It goes back to like the Pascal's wager, which was the, you know, hey, believe in a God. This was his idea. You know, what do you have to lose, you know, if it's not true? That was his sort of saying. And that's been applied over and over to things like superstition, which is, hey, what the hell?
They didn't win because of the bamboo. They won because I cut my lawn yesterday and I did a design like the Phillies outfield.
Well, thank you.
So that's why they ended up winning. So,
so it was you that did it.
Really?
Yeah.
You were cutting your bamboo.
Design like the Phillies outfield?
I'm trying, man.
You mowed your lawn to look like the infield, or?
No, like the outfield. So the outfield.
Oh, the diamond cut.
Yes.
Oh, you did that.
Well,
you did your own little field of dreams.
I tried to do that. It didn't turn out the way I envisioned it in my mind. Doesn't look bad.
I never could figure out how to do it.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm having a little bit of fun with my front yard.
He loves mowing. I do. You get so excited for mowing.
He's a mower.
Yeah. I'm a mower.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Casey.
It's a great day for a mow.
What a day for a mow.
I'm going to go off and mow.
I had the opposite experience. I told you this off air, Casey, but Preston, I didn't tell you. I was cutting the grass yesterday as well. The left front wheel broke as I was cutting the grass. So I had three functioning wheels and one non-functioning. And I was about...
So what is the design like?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, look just like the Philly center field.
It looks like a Venn diagram.
It basically, I was pushing... I had to hold the mower up like this with both hands because it was dipping down on the left front side. It was just such a giant pain in the ass.
Have you guys seen the, what is it, Husqvarna?
Husqvarna,
yeah, which is the basically the
they have Roomba
for your lawn.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, I told you guys when we went to Sweden, they were all over the place.
Oh, that's right, right.
And they wanted to endorse that, and they ended up not offering that. Yeah, they were great.
You basically said
you need a kind of a flat yard.
Yeah,
a regular yard wouldn't be good for it. But you're basically the same way you sort of lay out like a perimeter, right, with a wire.
Exactly. Yeah. And in fact, while we were there, I don't think it was my son Carter gave the mower a name. Because it was just out there. It was a little bot.
Yeah.
It was almost like the thing that cleans the bottom of your pool, you know?
Yeah,
It's just out moving all the time.
Yeah, so...
And it goes back to its own little docking port. When it's running low on battery power.
Yeah.
And charges itself back up and starts all over again.
Yeah, my yard's not right.
And then it begins to not like you.
Yeah.
And then it plots against you.
Do you have a Roomba?
I have... It's another company that is... that is really focuses in on pet, you know, for pets. And here's the deal, though. With any of those things in the house, if you have a pet that periodically throws up or, I don't know, eats the ass out of a mouse, then it's going to run over that and spread that and smear that.
That's not cleaning it,
is it? Not actually – that's exacerbating the issue. So after a while, even though they were awesome – if you're walking around having to do, like, you're a guard at Shawshank before lights out, it's not worth it.
I was looking at, Steve, I think maybe you bought one of these, but one of those interchangeable chargeable systems. So you can charge your mower, you can charge your leaf blower, and charge your weed whacker. They're expensive.
iWorks.
Okay, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I think that'll be my next mower, because they're terrible. They get awful gas mileage, and it's just, I hate filling up the gas tank all the time.
You got to see me. I got all my stuff. I got my equipment out there, my leaf blower, and they all use these batteries. And
yeah.
How's the charge?
It's good.
All right.
It's good.
I have a battery-powered weed whacker, and that actually works fine. I get an entire yard out of it, and then I'm good. It's a Ryobi, though.
That's fine. Another good. Yeah. We were talking about, though, when you get one of these things, it's like, I think, Preston, we've talked about this. You get a tool.
You're like a man.
Well, some of it can be fun.
It's the whole Tim Allen thing, yeah. You know?
If you're not doing it for a living, right, and you're only doing it like once a week. So I bought a pressure washer.
I trimmed that.
In the beginning of the summer, I guess mid-spring, and I loved power washing. It was so much fun. I got like a retaining wall, some siding. I had to get some glue up. Did you hear me say glue?
Wow.
Glue.
So how's that power washing feeling now?
I love it.
You still love it?
I'm still at a point where I'm okay. Like, yeah, this is pretty
badass. Still
on
the honeymoon.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Use it as a water pick now.
And by the way, can I just tell people, the pressure's really, really high, and it can cut your finger off. I found out the hard way when I was like 19 years old. I was like,
it effing hurts.
Yeah, what this feels like.
Baby. Yeah. Yeah, the same thing that's blowing encrusted dirt off concrete.
Yeah, we'll rip your skin off.
Can rip your skin off.
Yep, yeah. It is definitely strong enough to do that, so keep that in mind. Speaking of ripping your skin off, I saw this story. Women spend 7 weeks of their lives washing their faces and applying moisturizer.
Oh. Now, around what time of year is this?
No, this is their entire
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought
How
it was one concentrated effort.
7 weeks of your life is spent washing. So basically 2 months.
I'd say more for me.
More for you.
I wash my face all the time.
Really?
I used to, and you know, when I did traffic on NBC 10, I would go to work in the morning at like 2:30 in the morning. I'd come home in the middle of the day and then have to go in the afternoon again. Right. Did the split shift. And I would not keep my makeup on for that time in between because I was so worried about just like, you know, getting zits and blemishes. And
wouldn't you look like sort of like...
was like such a long time.
Yeah, you
I did
horrible.
My makeup at 2:30 in the morning, and then you got to go on the air at 4 p.m.
Hi, dolls. Here's what's going on in traffic.
Yeah, I cannot listen in my
Velma with the traffic.
In my day of you know, in college and drinking and all that and passing out, I still every single night remembered to wash my face, and if I didn't, it was like
that's amazing. Oh, and that Kathy, that makeup for television, and whenever we've had it on. You feel like you're cocooned.
It's like mortuary makeup.
Yes,
I swear to God.
It's a lot of coverage. Yeah, yeah, it can be thick.
Especially with high-def TV now.
You know, we were talking a couple of weeks ago about how when you showered, do you actually wash your legs? Do you wash your entire body? And yes, I do wash my legs. But you know what? I rarely wash my face.
Really?
I
wash my... You don't just rub water on your face and...
Not with soap.
And you have a loofah, though. You loofah everything.
Yeah, but that loofah is, like, pretty far up my ass crack, so I don't want to
rub
my
face. Do you start with it up your ass crack?
No, I finished with it.
Start with your face and then move into your ass crack. You don't know the progression?
No, I don't really wash my face either. Now, when you shave, though, shaving cream is essentially soap.
Yeah.
So there's some cleaning properties to that, and when you eventually wipe it all down, you are rubbing it all over your face.
So you guys
just rub it all in all over my face, and my chin, and up in there.
Call yourself a bitch.
You don't put soap on your face; you just run water over it.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I use water.
Even on your head too?
Yeah.
Just water, no soap.
I don't use soap. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, because he's bald, so he doesn't. Yeah, obviously.
I use the cleansing waters of my special faucet there, you know, the one that makes love to me every
Nick,
time I shower.
You have to wash your face.
Oh, come on.
You do, right?
I wash every inch of my body.
Okay,
I wash my legs, my feet, my face, my butt crack.
I do wash. I just don't. I don't like soap.
I use soap for my butt crack. I don't use the loofah.
I heard that just using regular water is a better thing than using, you know, like
really
bar soap.
Yeah.
Water actually has cleaning properties to it. I've read that years ago, and I believe it, and that you don't have to fully foam your entire body up to get clean.
Look at me. What do I have to clean?
Hey, by the way, women not only spend, I'm sorry, Casey, but women spend 7 weeks of their lives washing their face and 4 weeks of their lives exfoliating.
Mm. All right. So the exfoliating, I would consider that part of the face washing process.
No,
right?
There's like specific products that kind of have like a gristly feel to them that will, exfoliate.
Like emery boards?
Not that much, but it will take off the dead skin or the dead cells, I guess, on your face.
So what's your evening ritual as you're prepping for bed? Is it a multi-tier process?
Well, it depends on it. You know, usually if I go to the gym, then I shower earlier and, you know, we'll wash my face then and all that. But sometimes if I put on the lotion after I shower, like if my face feels dry, then before I go to bed, I have to wash that off.
Do you lotion up your boobs every night? Or
at what point do you take your panties off?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Jesus.
They never come off.
Hey, by the way,
is
Matt Cowper still in the green room? Because that guy washes and exfoliates and moisturizes his face all the time.
I don't know if he's still
He's doing it right now with the hot dog.
He can't hear you because he's talking, though.
Do you want him to come in here?
Yeah. Wait, he's talking?
I know. It's shocking.
Wait, can you have Cowper come in here, please? Because Casey wants to ask him about his cleaning.
His man grooming?
His regimen. And not only this, so women spend 7 weeks of their lives washing their face, 4 weeks of their lives exfoliating, and they also spend 6 weeks of their lives applying moisturizer, and they spend 3 minutes per day doing so and 3 days wearing face masks total. Do you do the face mask thing?
Yeah, so I will do that. I have one that I can do at home.
Like the Wolfman?
I will do that, but I'll wash my face in the morning, and then at night is like absolute must.
I have a picture. My wife and daughter take a they'll do this the little ladies bath thing.
Right, yeah.
They put the bath bomb on and all that stuff, and they'll put the mask on. And I came in one day, Steve, and they looked like Leatherface.
Really?
I mean, it was scary.
Do I frighten you?
It looks like their skin is peeling off of their face. I'll find a picture.
Look what you've done to me.
I took a picture of it. Matt Kelper is here from our sales department. Hey, dude.
What up?
Casey, you're a very well-groomed individual. Wednesdays usually are the bathroom day because I can smell your products.
This week will be Wednesday and Thursday.
do you exfoliate? Do you use moisturizer?
I do. So I clean my face twice a day.
Really?
I use this Neutrogena product it's a soap product that's supposed to be really good for your skin.
All right.
So you don't get acne and those types of things.
It's you work out in the morning, right?
Yeah, I usually work out like around 5:30 in the morning.
Okay.
5:30, depending. But I use this skin cream that's really good. It helps with wrinkles. It keeps your face
fresh and young.
Fresh young.
Like a college co-ed?
It's called Revision Skincare. It's got a vitamin C, like a high dose of vitamin C in it. It's really good for
your eyes. We know it by its commercial name, Nutella. Yeah. Do you actually like the process? Do you like the whole?
Yeah. Okay,
all right. Before you go to bed, how long is the process?
5 minutes.
Okay.
Ish.
So, Kathy, how long is your process before you go to bed?
I will shower, like I said, earlier in the day, usually after the gym. So just doing the face and stuff like that, probably only 5 minutes as well.
Right. By the way, I can actually smell Matt from over here. You just smell clean.
But here's the key.
I can smell it coming from over here.
Here's the key. They say actually showering's bad for you. Showering.
I know.
They actually suggest you should shower like once every like 2-3 days.
Yeah. Casey's been telling us that for years.
I shower twice a day. Which probably is not good for the skin.
I can't. I die though if I feel that I'm offending in any way odor wise, and I have to feel clean.
Here's what I do.
I shower every morning. It's part of my waking up thing. So before I go. And then I work out midday when I get home. And instead of doing a full on shower, I just get in the shower and I hose off. I just water, strictly water, and I'm fine. I don't smell bad or anything. I just get the sweat off of me and cool down a little bit so I don't continue sweating.
How often a day do you bidet? Because now I do it.
I don't bidet at all.
Well, yeah. I think it's the soap. It's like the soap that dries your skin out.
I don't use soap when I shower. Is that okay?
Putting water on you, I got to imagine, has zero effect.
But I don't care. I will use soap every single time. I sometimes shower twice a day as well. And I will get out and I love feeling clean. Like I'll actually...
What's really good to use?
And I love myself.
No, I didn't say that.
I don't use like regular soap or even like the Dial gel soap or whatever you call that stuff. I use this tea tree oil soap.
Oh my God.
Which is supposed to be really good for your skin. It avoids like any sort of funguses and bacteria and things.
It removes
all like odors and smells from your body. It's amazing stuff. I get it online and it's phenomenal.
There's some texters that are saying that Matt's just like Christian Bale in American Psycho.
Just saying the same.
I would make fun of you, but you're already making fun of yourself, Matt.
All right, I found this.
But it works.
I want to get your guys' reaction. I found the picture of my wife and daughter with their masks on their faces. Does that not look like something out of a horror film?
It really looks like it. You know what they look like, Preston? They look like from Saw.
Yes.
Jigsaw.
I came in and saw that. I'm like, well, I have to leave. It's terrifying. But it's all part of the beauty regimen.
Absolutely.
And
eventually that dries and falls off, right?
Women also spend 9 days, this is of their lives, 9 days plucking their eyebrows and 10 days painting their nails.
So I would assume that you're a guy who's as attentive to his hygiene and his outward appearance as you are. You're... You're probably in that realm, right? I mean, Kathy's your time spent at night is similar to Matt's.
Yeah, it is.
Right.
So I dodged a bullet the other day because I had to. My eyebrows were getting out of control, so I have like a little razor that I use, trimmer. And it usually
has a trimmer too. I do my eyebrows.
And it has a guard on it.
Yep.
And I just assumed that the guard was on it.
Oh no. Did you trim them too short?
Dude, Kathy, I am so lucky that I didn't go all the way down to
full
the
matrix.
Yeah, like I normally do with the guard. Because I did my left eyebrow without even realizing it. And then it wasn't until I got to my right eyebrow. I was like, oh my God, the guard's not on here.
I have it on Vanilla Ice. I have it on the Vanilla Ice setting.
There are people who could do this for you, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. No, I can do it myself. I took the guard off. I can't remember why I took the guard off, but I did. And because normally if I have the guard on, I just, you know,
you
put it right down to my...
Yeah. Make sure the safety is on.
Oh, my God.
I did that one time with my razor, but I there's a guard on there, and it's an adjustable guard, so you can set it from zero, you know, all the way up to 7 or 8 or whatever it is. And I was going to do my face, and I shaved half my mustache off. I didn't realize it was set on zero. Oh, no. And then you just got to shave the whole damn thing off.
That's the glory of having no eyebrows or no hair whatsoever. It's just you never screw up.
Yeah.
It all comes off all the time.
I mean, honestly, I wish I did take care of myself the way, you know, Cowper does. And, you know, maybe not to that extent or whatever. But it's just, it just takes up too much time. You're saying like 7.5 weeks? You know how much sleeping I could be doing with that?
But listen, you need obviously an inordinate amount of time to be pounding that loofah up your ass.
Yeah.
So that's part of the process
Where'd you get this from, Matt? Is this any of your siblings or your parents or anybody have this trait?
Gum gum?
No, if you've ever met my dad, and I think Casey has maybe once or twice, he's like the total like guy's guy.
Yeah.
Like he is dude. Just, yeah, he's like, you know, blue collar, just
not like you.
No, I just...
Any brothers? This my face mask look right?
I have a sister that's 4 years older than me, and I probably have more products than she does.
What about your wife? Who has more products in the bathroom, you or your wife?
Well, Carrie, I mean, Carrie, you know Carrie.
Yeah, right? She's great.
Writer. She takes good care of herself, but I probably have more products than she does as well. I don't
awesome.
Listen.
That's awesome.
You're not a... There's no reason...
I'm 44 years old. The ultimate compliment you can have is when you meet somebody for the first time and they say, you're 44, or, oh, my God, you look 30, or you look 35, or you look 36. Like, the ultimate compliment you can get is when somebody tells you you look younger than what you really do.
Yeah. I thought you were
never
like,
would be the guy that's like, oh, you're 44, you look like you're 60.
All right, so who out of me, Nick, and Cowper, who looks the oldest? Because we're all the exact same age.
Nick is fairly freshly.
I look younger when I shave.
Yeah.
You do. You look like, I'm used
facial hair makes you look a little bit older, I think. So I would say right now, Nick.
I look the oldest?
The youngest.
Youngest. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I have a baby face.
Well, thank you, Matt.
The cutest thanks, little baby
thanks.
Face.
Thanks.
It's been sick.
It's
been totally sick.
Yeah. Love you guys.
Yeah. That is a peek into the world of Matt Cowper preparation. Yeah.
Hey, just a programming. Being Cowper. Programming nerd, I think Preston, when we come back, we'll probably end up doing the Bizarre File in order to make time for David Harbour,
okay,
who had a late flight last night.
You tell me when I should wrap up this segment, because I do have one other thing I can get to here.
We can play with that for a second.
All right, so speaking of all this beauty, I know, it's not like you want to touch my
immature
my genitalia.
Yeah, penis.
Well, I'll just play this for
a little bit. Take that out and tug on it a little bit.
Let me play with myself for a second.
Throw it up and down for
a
minute.
Do you guys mind if I play myself for the next few minutes during this particular
just
segment?
Just going to roll around on this for a little bit. Tug on it. Kiss it too.
You know, right, Kev?
It's before you go to bed, right?
Uh-huh.
But when you kiss it, go make the sound first. You got
my little soldier. Christ. What a horrible.
What are you doing?
I would kiss you all day today.
Case. Wait. You know, at some point, you've tried.
Never. Because I knew it's a losing battle, man.
Oh. Tried.
Go get one. Bring me one of the hot dogs.
Oh my God! So can I tell you the other day? I had a weird work dream where I hated Nick so much.
What happened?
Because it was revealed in the dream.
Because he looked so young.
It was revealed in the dream that he had a 13-inch penis, and I was like, "That is bull ass." I was so mad.
So mad.
I was like, 13 inches. Come on, man.
Casey.
There you go.
There's
Nick for
you. It's got to be at least 12 right here.
If I had that, I would totally try.
You would totally try what?
Kissing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Can you kiss it? See?
Yes,
you can totally kiss it.
Give us our video.
I'm sure. Love this. Oh, my God.
And honestly.
Wow.
Honestly.
Sorry, I had to suck on it for a second.
Yeah.
Well, it's a hot dog. It's delicious.
It's a hot dog.
Yeah. What
else? Sausage, probably, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Sausage.
Yeah. It's delicious.
Right,
sponsor? Thing's gigantic. How big is that? Foot long?
12 inches. That's what I thought.
So
Nick's got that
shy
beat by,
Nick.
By an inch.
Just
one
shot.
Got an extra
shy
inch.
Nick.
Casey, by the way, nothing to be angry about. You're good.
All right, anyway.
Unless you hang out with me twice.
I was going to move on to something else. All this beauty talk.
Oh.
Then we got into self-pleasuring.
This happened actually on Friday. They had the 31st annual World's Ugliest Dog Contest. And Scamp the Tramp ended up winning that. But it's lovingly, you know what I mean?
No, yeah. I know.
There are some dogs that are ugly cute. You know, like some bulldogs have that kind of ugly, adorable face.
I think they're adorable.
Yeah, I do too.
I dated a girl whose dog had a terrible...
I was gonna say, I dated a girl who won this contest.
She had
her tongue hung out. This is so happy to see you.
Oh, my.
So happy to see you.
So anyway... she loved this dog so much, and I had heard about him.
It's one of these ugly dogs.
And ever.
Yeah,
and Steve. He had a terrible skin problem. So, just a couple of like patches of hair and like dry ass skin. And I met the same. His temperament was great, but he was ugly as f.
All right,
and didn't smell right because of his skin. And oh my god!
But in a bizarre way,
cuddle with this thing.
they're beautiful in that way, though, aren't they?
I guess, I can
see why people are suckers for these things.
My dog Hershey had a bad skin issue, but not quite that bad. And I guess, you know, he was my dog, so, you know, he didn't gross me out as much as he probably grossed other people out.
I'll tell you what, though, Preston, the winner of this year's, I've seen far worse.
Oh, yeah. He's got kind of matted hair. Some of them are bald with just little frizzes sticking out of their forehead. And, you know, they always have the tongue sticking out to the side. And usually the eyes are kind of funky looking. But anyhow, the owner... Yvonne Morones won an appearance with Scamp on the Today Show, $1,500 in cash, and $1,500 to donate to an animal shelter and a trophy the size of a Rottweiler. And this is a little dog, by the way.
And a Rolls Royce.
She said, I think that the audience saw his beautiful spirit and everything he's given back to the community. Scamp makes volunteer visits to school children and a local senior citizen center as well.
What the hell is that?
Right? They have no inner dialogue.
What is that? It's horrible. There's a rat. You can't bring that to a senior citizen.
No.
Kill it. I thought they were going to be kittens.
I got the prostate the size of a softball, and you're bringing that thing in here.
I'm pissing blood looking at this thing.
The street dog from Compton was rescued by...
it's got a background.
In 2014, after she spotted him on Pet Finder, and Scamp beat out 18 other contestants who showed off their droopy tongues, bowed legs, perpetually confused looks, and other strange attributes. The contestants got to walk the red carpet and preen for adoring fans at Sonoma Marin Fairgrounds in the heart of Northern California wine country.
One of the former winners of this was from this area, right?
Yeah, I remember. In fact... I think they brought the dog
They
by
brought the,
studio.
The dog
yeah.
in, yes.
Yeah. That was back at Y-100.
Y-100, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, they're cute. They're cute in their own
stupid
way.
Stupid tongue hanging out.
Mm-hmm. There's just something adorable. Yeah. I love those the mush, like the boxer face and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're great.
Yep. So
there isn't that wide a variation in people, though, if you stop and think about, like, in the canine world. There's also massive size differences.
Yeah.
Imagine if there was a corollary between... There was a human the size of a Chihuahua and a human the size of a Saint Bernard.
Good point.
Yeah. We don't have that. That's my brother. He's 21 feet tall. Yeah.
I don't know. So you see things on the internet and you're like, okay, is this real or is this not real? And
right.
I'll get embarrassed by asking this, but I saw a video yesterday of a fish
Eating a cow?
No, it had a human face on it. Did you guys see this?
Oh, there are ones like a blobfish that look somewhat human.
Okay.
Is that what you're talking about? Sort of a gelatinous face that with a sort of
no,
a proboscis
like
looking thing?
An actual human face on it.
No, not no? quite like that.
Oh, no, that was
if you
Rosie
remember
O'Donnell.
When the Silver Surfer lost his surfboard in that movie and he
yes.
turned like blackish?
Yes.
That's kind of like what the fish look like. Yeah.
Is this it?
Is that
I
real?
I don't think that's real at all.
Are you for real?
Let me oh my see God! What
you I didn't
Steve,
hang there long enough.
Jesus, Casey!
Listen. We're looking on at it with a on a big screen, and it's a still photo. Looking at this, okay,
Casey, really?
It's ridiculous.
You know, it looks like it actually looks more like you remember in The Abyss when the
yes!
the,
yeah. Yeah. The thing turned in, it had a
face
in
on
it.
The water column. Yeah.
Okay, listen. In my defense,
well, that but you it's right. so seldom you can tell the attitude of a fish, and he seems pretty happy.
He does. He seems actually he's got some swagger.
He looks like a little bit like Satchmo, deep. Preston.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I see skies of blue.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Wow.
I saw this on Twitter on my phone yesterday.
Why wouldn't you believe that a fish had a fully formed human face?
And so it was a much, much smaller screen. So it wasn't as pronounced as this
well,
picture here in the studio.
Weren't the glasses a tip-off?
I hate this. I hate this culture now where you see these things, and you guys have all seen it, people reposting things like with the immediacy, just as quickly as they possibly can, without even taking a moment to take a real good hard look as to whether this is real or not.
And, it's
and the thing goes for fake quotes and stuff like that, too.
It's only begun.
I know.
It's only begun because of deep fakes.
Right, well, so yeah.
Now when videos start to pop up that are just absolutely built digitally. It's going to get 10 times worse.
Yeah, what, Casey?
All right, so just watch the video that I saw because it wasn't like that. And it was like just like 8 seconds. And then I went, I'm like, well, that's weird. And then I went on to the next thing.
It's a video, so.
Is the fish singing?
Christ, no.
Hello,
but
my baby. Hello.
It's moving. And it's, you know, come on.
But that I believe.
It's not, that I'm buying.
It's not as ridiculous, right? It's
well,
still
but
ridiculous.
The face is literally a fully formed human face.
What are you looking at?
He's like, hey, put me back in the
now,
water.
Now, mind you, if someone can prove this is actual, then that's, you know.
Then you will have the last laugh, Cass.
You will have the last laugh. It looks like Japanese writing at the base of it.
Yeah, why does that add credence to these things?
Because all this crap happens in Japan.
Right, so you're like, oh my goodness, there's Asian characters attached to this thing now.
Where did Godzilla come from?
Right.
Yeah. He's like, I can't breathe.
They have a giant moth over there. Of course you have a fish that looks like Satchmo.
Yeah. Here, there's people, some of the texts are coming in. Yeah, I saw that yesterday. It was fake. Yeah, that was like the guy that has a motorcycle bottom instead of legs.
Have you seen that commercial?
No.
Oh, he's a motor.
Yeah, motor.
Instead of a centaur.
That's not real.
I saw it on TV. It has to be real.
Hey, we got to take a break. Let's
all right. We can
look over there.
We will gladly do that, and we will gladly give away some movie passes where the effects make you think that these things are real. Spider-Man Far From Home. We have a screening of it. It's tomorrow night, UA King of Prussia, 7:30. You'll need to be there by 7. I'm going to load it up because we have a lot of these passes to give away. So 10 people call right now, and we will get you into seeing that movie before it opens on July 2nd, as we try to do with all these great movies that come out. 215-263-WMOR is the number. When we come back, we are scheduled to have Mr. David Harbour here, who plays Hopper. On Stranger Things Season 3 is coming out on Netflix on July 4th, and we're big fans and looking forward to talking to him. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Thrice. Shine now. Papa Roach.
I want to elevate. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you to Pink's for being here. Pink's Hot Dogs in King of Prussia. I can give away a gift card. What?
They're coming up right now.
All right,
so,
then we're going to switch things. Yeah, we're not going to do the bizarre file. We are going to put that on a hold, and we'll get David Harbour in here. So
benefit of being fluid.
Yeah, it works. So I'm going to give away a $50 gift card to Pink's Hot Dogs. And I will take caller number 13 at 215-263-WMMR. And they represent the fulfillment of the American dream based on a simple chili dog recipe, selling thousands of chili dogs a day throughout America. So we'll set you up with that now.
I had one of their, I guess, vegetarian hot dogs. Yes. I had no, Marissa had to tell me that it was not a meat hot dog.
Really?
It's that good.
All right. They are in King of Prussia, and they're in the food court inside the mall. So make sure you stop by. But we will set you up with that gift card right now at 215-263-WMMR.
The new area of the food court, right? Of the mall?
Yes, it's the bridge. I had an appearance there when they first opened up.
Okay. And, did they call it?
Yeah, well, I think it's called the bridge. But, yeah, it's in between the court and the plaza, the old court and the old plaza. It's a really cool spot. And
That food court is awesome.
It is. It's impressive. And they're prime location right in the middle.
Beautiful. Love it. Hey, I want to mention today is Tattoo Tuesday. We have a chance to win a Preston and Steve themed tattoo from our friends at world famous Philadelphia Eddie's. And what you need to do is text the word tattoo to 39333. We'll find ourselves a winner a little bit later on. Just randomly going to choose one. Then you could end up being getting tattooed from the area's top tattoo artists like Kyle Fitzpatrick. You can see his work on Instagram at Kyle_Fitzpatrick_ or PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com. So get on that because you got a little bit of time left to do that. So text word tattoo to 39333. And also, while we have a moment together, I want to mention our Belly Flop Championship is coming up. We need contestants. We got to get you on board, and you can do that right now through WMMR.com. And the event is going to be Thursday, July 11th at the Valley Beach Poolside Club at the Valley Forge Casino Resort. We have prizes for each gender for men and women, $500 cash, and some tickets to see the Rolling Stones in concert. So get on that now, and we'll have winners of each gender, and then we'll probably have a gender flop-off to find out who the champion of the world
is. We'd have to, yes.
21 and over event, absolutely free admission for spectators. The doors open at 5 p.m. That's going to be on July 11th. And if you want to be a contestant, the deadline is on Wednesday the 3rd, July 3rd at 10 a.m. So get signed up for that right now. All right, we are all set to go. Our guest has arrived. Good afternoon. Good morning.
What's up, am I
good
late?
Day, I should say.
You're actually early per our original assessment, so you're kicking ass already. Yeah.
Thank you. We are
excited, ladies and gentlemen, to have in our studio actor David Harbour.
Yeah!
Thank you.
I'm so excited I said good afternoon when it's 9:20 in the morning.
There are a bunch of footlongs outside the studio, which is like, yeah.
The nine in the morning
footlong, though. Yeah.
Do you know Pink's in Hollywood?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
That's them.
Are those from there?
They just expanded.
Oh, well,
then
bring me one. I mean, come on. It's still a hot dog.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's not a... classic breakfast fare, but it works. It's very good.
We never actually get breakfast food here. It's always
It's always a dinner thing, but it all works.
And all that stuff.
We've been up since 3:45.
Yeah, exactly. So it is kind of dinner for you guys.
David, where are you from? Where did you grow up?
I'm from White Plains, New York.
Know it well.
Yeah, yes. Do you know it?
I'm from New York, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Westchester County, like 45 minutes out from the city, you know, suburban. Very boring place to grow
up. if you work in the city, it's a nice area to be in.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I couldn't stand it when I was growing up because it's like that suburban thing, you know, and you're like 14 years old and all you want to do is act out. And so I would take that Metro North train down to New York, though.
Oh, yeah.
When I was like 15 and, you know, you could... Back then, you could do a lot worse things than you can nowadays. We could go to bars. And,
sure.
I mean, they didn't have any of the rules they have nowadays.
So it wasn't the creative arts that were driving you to the city? It was the party?
I would tell my parents that I was going to the Metropolitan Museum of Art. So, yes, the arts were driving. Yeah. If my parents are listening.
Well, we're thrilled to have you in here. Yeah. We're massive Stranger Things fans, and we're also just massive fans of your body of work, which is just so much great stuff. And I think you've described yourself, or have been described, and I think you're the epitome of that guy for so long, just is always, this guy's in it, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
You know, and we have a sense that you've curated the things that you're in, and whether that's the truth or not, you just always end up in good stuff. And Stranger Things is just such a... no one could have figured this bizarre pop culture bank shot that took place.
Yes.
And that they went with, except for perhaps Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
Moderately known.
Yeah.
And it just took off. So when you got the script for the first time, I understand it blew you away. But did you think you were going to get it? You couldn't have had an idea it would be what it has become.
No.
Yeah.
The complete opposite, to be honest. I mean, the first thing is you get the script, and I thought it was a really good script. And so my first thought was there's no way they're going to choose me to be, like, the male adult lead in this. They'll get somebody who's a star. And so I kind of blew off the audition a little bit. I mean, I do what I do, but there was a relaxation in the audition where it was like, you know, those situations where you think, like, this will never happen, so I might as well just do what I want to do.
And that must help. That must help.
It does, because it makes you more relaxed.
Yeah.
No expectations. You're not. Right. You don't have a goal. You're just like doing what you do. And then I wound up getting it, and it was incredible. And then as we were shooting it, I remember around episode 4 or 5 having a bit of a breakdown and thinking, none of this works.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, because I remember, I mean, Hopper's a really messy guy in many ways, like everything from his body to, his personality.
Well, the very first, my impression of your character was like, this guy's a douchebag, because
exactly.
She comes and says, my kid is missing, and he's like, he's out running around or whatever. I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to be that guy.
Yeah.
He's more complex than that, and really cares, but you're right. He kind of had that really messy attitude about him, but he's the character morph. So initially you thought that wasn't going to translate.
Yeah, and so like around episode, I think it was 5, though, we were doing a scene, and I'm neurotic, and occasionally I'll ask people, like, what'd you think? And I went up to my hair person, this woman, Sarah, who's lovely person, but I was like, what do you think? And she just turned to me and just shook her head, and she was like, yeah, I don't think it's going to work.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what? You mean the whole thing?
Like, thanks for the confidence.
Wow.
But I understood where she's got. You're in a bubble down there, and you just have these days where you're like, what we're doing is stupid. Nobody's going to like it. And then before the show came out, there was no advertisements.
Yeah. No.
No.
And
no.
And I couldn't get an interview like this on a popular radio show. Like, nobody wanted to talk to me about this show.
That was the beauty of it. I found out about it through word of mouth.
Exactly.
And so it started to catch. And it was that. Now, this actually speaks to, you were a child of the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people remember all of this, it's at once a tribute to the work of Stephen King, and it's this pop culture maelstrom of things that are all pulled together and
Spielberg,
to Spielberg, and shot in a way that all the things that we love, but done in a great way. So there'd be no way to know it. But the fact that it did happen that way organically, I think, made it more firmly entrenched. And that's why we're rabid for season 3.
You and the Netflix season 1 marketing department apparently had the same thought. Because that's what, that's what they claimed was that. I don't know if that's just a way of getting out of spending any money on the show. But they claimed that that was kind of their strategy, was to have people discover it. And I have to say, it is very gratifying. It was very gratifying to have it be something that wasn't hyped at all, and just to have people stumble across it on Netflix, and then the social media aspect of it. They just told their friends, and it was all over like Facebook and Twitter. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
And I think in this world where everything is so hyped, it's nice to have ownership and discover something that almost feels like a little pearl you found in an oyster, like a surprise,
So let me ask you then, here's the conundrum now.
Uh-huh.
Now it is a thing.
Know, now we're talking about it.
Right,
oh,
right.
God.
But whereas season 2 is always, everyone's like, going, okay, what season 2 kicked ass.
Yeah. I know.
And it was.
And
it,
guess what happens in season 3?
Traps the bin.
We jump the shark.
No, it's
my character gets on water skis.
Nice.
And literally one of the top, okay.
And there's a great white shark in the lake.
All right.
Who knew?
Yeah.
In Hawkins Lake.
Are you wearing a leather jacket?
I am.
Okay.
Surprisingly. No, honestly, I just finished, because they just sent me, because they like to send the finished episodes to everyone else before me.
Right.
But they just sent me all the episodes. I just finished them last night, actually. And it is so damn good.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. The trailer
is so damn good. And you, like, oh, the end is
How does it end? What happens?
Okay, yeah. So here's what happens.
You made up the chart.
Yeah. By the way, I would like to correct you on one little thing. Prior to this, the first season coming out, we totally would have had you on our show.
You're a liar.
No.
You are in some of our favorite things.
When the first trailer for Black Mass came out,
yeah.
And the dinner scene with you and Johnny Depp, and I'll just sort of leave it at that because I know you wanted to hit on this, Steve.
Oh, no, like, no. We're gonna go over all your stuff because we're big fans. But yes, no, Casey's right. We were fans before Stranger Things. It just cements the adoration. But to that point, you go through these things. This has been your quantum leap.
You
were that kind of guy. You were on Broadway and you working that whole deal. When you went in to I know you had an issue with working with kids initially, right? Because kids can be a liability, right?
Yeah, initially.
Because I find you've got to get the right. I'm so quick to hate a kid in a thing. if he's, you know what I'm saying? If he's
I annoying, do know what you mean. I know exactly.
You got to get. You got to get a Haley Joel Osment. You got to get somebody who really gets these.
And
kids
we got like six of them.
Yeah.
I know. I know.
And so they never the old thing is never work with animals or kids.
Yeah. But you and I are the same age, right? So when I look at the cast,
are you 75?
Born in 75.
July. No, yeah, 1975. Yeah, no.
So you were born on my brother's birthday in 1975.
Oh, wow.
I saw that. I turned 44 on the 4th of July. So
Wait. Yeah. I was born on your brother.
My brother was born in 73.
Oh, 73. I was like, wow, 2 months apart? Brother, how did that happen? Something with test tubes and cloning or something.
It's right out of Stranger Things.
Yeah, exactly.
So see, upside down.
You and I and Nick, actually, as a matter of fact, we're all contemporaries. So we grew up with the same movies. So there are movies that came out in the 80s that still work today that have kids in them because they were so good. The Goonies is one.
Yes.
Stand By Me is another
one.
Sandlot is another one that came a little bit later on.
Okay.
And so I likened
E.T.
As a matter of fact, E.T. Yeah.
Drew Barrymore, like a little tiny Drew Barrymore. Amazing.
Yeah. Right. So, and we had the creator of the Sandlot in here a couple of years ago, and he actually, I think they had a whole other cast of kids, and he was like, you know what, I need to get older kids to play younger because they weren't doing it right. And
yeah, interesting. And yeah. So, I mean, our kids are kind of all over the map. I think when we started, I think Millie was the youngest, and I think she was 11 years old. And then I think Caleb was the oldest, and I think he was maybe 14. So they do span a little bit. But in general, they are kind of aging with the show. Like Millie in particular is, you know, she started out, she was 11 years old, and now she's what, like 14 or something.
She's a young woman now. It's a little weird to see, but it's natural.
Well, it's weird for you. It's just weird for Hopper, too. Yeah, it's like a nightmare.
I love that you, and to Preston's point about the character, this character, and I think I like complex, I like villains where you can sort of see why they are what they are, and they're not just, you know, mustache twisting. And I like heroes that sometimes get pissed off and have luggage, and that's how Hopper came into the deal. You know, the whole paternal aspect of him was not revealed, and it becomes revealed in an organic way. How much of your input helped create that genesis for Hopper?
I mean, they had an amazing character already created when I came in, but they also are very collaborative. So, you know, I have ideas and I understand men that are broken and disappointed in life, and other people are disappointed in. So I had some insight into that.
Right.
And so, you know, as we were developing him in the first season, and one of the fun things was as we developed him in the first season, and as we thought, you know, we were all sort of neurotic, we thought, well, this isn't going to have much of a life after this season. But we would sit around on set and just have fantasies about, like, you know, what would be amazing? Like,
right,
if we could run this thing, like what could be cool? And I think that some of those discussions, especially in season one, you know, one of the fun things was like, we really loved the character of Hopper, and we also really loved this character of Eleven. And we were like, you know, there's clearly, like, he had a daughter who died, and so he has a lot of trauma around that. And she had a papa who was manipulative and who used her.
Right.
And so wouldn't it be great for these two characters to try to heal their trauma together and do it in a very chaotic way where they, you know, they don't know
season
what they're
two.
Doing. Yeah,
season
so that
two
led
was that
into
process.
Season two.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then there's stuff that we're even responding to going into season three.
Yeah, no.
David, I loved you on Newsroom, and I love you yeah. And this in Stranger Things, and they're very different roles.
Very different.
And the writing on, which is Aaron Sorkin's show on the Newsroom, it's so fast-paced, and so a lot of your character is built on the fast-paced nature of the entire show and how quickly the dialogue is delivered, whereas on Stranger Things, it's the spaces between the notes, right? Mm. It's a lot more drawn out, and you can be a much more subtle actor. Do you have a preference? Does it matter to you? Or do you just like the work when the work is good?
No, I mean, I do feel like with the Newsroom stuff, like I feel like the gestalt, like the larger piece is very good. But as a component in it, you don't have a lot of freedom to do. You don't have a lot of ownership in a weird way. And so with Stranger Things, there's a lot more ownership. I mean, you get to explore a lot more behavior. A lot of times, like Sorkin's stuff and a Newsroom is very much about the point you're making on the page. Whereas with Stranger Things, you may say something and mean something entirely different, or you may say something and then behave entirely different.
And there are these pauses and these drawn out things, especially with your character.
I love that. I love the way your character is like, you take a lot of time.
But it's
what's up with you? Why?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's compelling. You get drawn in as a result.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's my whole thing with acting has always been that, a lot of it, human behavior is always very complex, and sometimes, a lot of times, I think people say something that, and then they behave entirely differently. And that's sort of how I've seen the world since I was a kid, is I've always been confused by human beings, because they would say things like, I love you. And you'd be like, I don't
think you do.
I think you want me to stay, or you want, I don't know what you want, but you don't just love me. So that's always the complicated thing that I want to explore with human beings. And I think that the great thing about the Duffers are they really love actors. They really love, you know, what we bring to it, and they really want, you know, so they'll have something in their mind that's very specific, and then we'll come in and mess it up, and they'll be like, this is even better than what we, and that sort of collaboration is what you're always looking for.
You mentioned taking a lot of time. Netflix took a long time to get this next season back. And I was curious what you, how you feel about that as an actor.
Listen, here's the problem, right? Uh-huh. It's not a problem. It's a problem with you guys. I swear, it's a problem with the world, okay? Because we have, I'm going to throw it down here. Because we have trained you. We give you 9 hours of content.
Yeah.
And you binge it all in a day.
No, I learned.
And it's like, give us time. Take your time. Once every 2 months is when you should be watching an episode.
No, it's like, it's cracked.
Look,
it's crack.
I know. For me too. I mean, sorry.
No. And as soon as it's over, you're like, when's the next one coming out? After the first day it comes out, you watch the whole season, you want to know when there's more.
And you'll see, you'll see as you watch this season. I mean, the problem is, like, I agree. I wish we could bring them out to you every couple months, you know? But the problem is, and especially when you watch this season, if you really just watch each episode and you see the camera work, the story work, the production design, like every single one of them is an hour-long movie.
That's been true of the
have
whole series.
Eight of them.
Yeah.
But eight movies in a year and a half is like pretty good, compared to like.
Well, let me ask you, going to your film work, which you love, and Casey brought up Black Mass, and and you know, you've worked on the other side of the table from Johnny Depp, as menacing a Whitey Bulger as you could possibly imagine. And I was reading an interview with you where you say the performance you know, it really works like when you legitimately, if you're supposed to hate somebody, if you actually sort of legitimately hate the person in that scene, that you can tell when someone's going, I'm going to pretend I hate you. So when Johnny Depp is looking across at you and he's delivering the secret recipe sequence, Are you kind of getting unnerved by that?
Yeah. I mean, there's very personal work going on. I'm terrified of Johnny Depp. I mean, who isn't? But it, you know, it, so, yeah, I mean, it's a funny thing. Like, you meet people and you work with them almost immediately. Like, that was Johnny and me. Like, it was, we just met that day and we just had that scene. But
no kidding. That was your first scene? Within that day?
Yeah, and that was actually my first scene in the movie.
Wow.
And, you know, you sit down with a person, and so what I try to do is, like, just get very personal with them early on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you try to really see what you get from this human being, and then you what you can use. It's almost like you're there with another chef, and you guys just have like ingredients spilled out, and you're like, okay, what am I going to use from you? Like, you know, you have this set of ingredients, I have this set of ingredients. What can we? And I mean, I do feel like the thing about acting is that when it's, and look, I do it sometimes, and sometimes I get scared of doing it, but when you bleed, other people feel it more, I think.
Like, right.
You know, Ernest Hemingway has this great quote where he's like, writing is easy. You just sit at the typewriter and bleed. And like,
yeah.
It's true. Like, yeah. When you actually are in the room, if you actually are hurt by someone, it registers as differently, viscerally, than if you're just sort of like pretending.
Right.
And I think in that scene you had soy sauce and garlic. Right?
Oh, man. You found out. I spilled the secret.
Can I ask you a question? Because
real quick, I just want to reset. Yeah. David Harbour, if you're just tuning in, Stranger Things Season 3 coming up on Netflix July 4th.
With that particular movie, you've been an actor for a long time. That's what you majored in college. You get into it because you love it. I assume that you didn't get into what you're doing now to receive awards and all that sort of stuff. However, with that movie, I felt like Johnny Depp should have at least been nominated for Best Actor in every single award show, and he wasn't.
Yeah, and I mean, that stuff's all political, you know.
Okay. You can see there are signs, and it's always been the case. For example, I always point to the fact that Paul Newman should have won for The Verdict, and they gave it to him for The Color of Money.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah,
and it's like, we screwed up, so here you go. So that's.
I think it's Pacino too, right?
Like, yeah,
he was nominated The Godfather, Godfather 2, like all these movies, and then they give it to him for Scent of a Woman, which is like, okay.
Yeah.
But like, it's no Dog good. Day Afternoon. Like, right. Come on, like,
no, you're right.
You're in
Attica.
Yeah. It was just on the other night. It holds up. It's still great.
David, I wanted to go back to the kids on the set on Stranger Things. You're watching these kids grow up. They're great actors. Yet they are, they're going up into this world of a career. I'm wondering if you're just letting them do that, or do you occasionally have a little bit of advice you try to, by osmosis, kind of give to them?
Are you a parent?
I am, yeah, I have three. Yeah.
One of his sons is right behind us.
Yeah,
oh, excellent. Really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, do you listen to your dad?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Because you're in the room. Yeah, I know. Like, of course, like, whatever. I mean, I actually don't have kids, so I have six, you know, or seven, if you include Joe Keery, like little kids who I like adore and love. And of course I'm protective over them and I want them. And I mean, it is a hard road, and especially nowadays with all the interaction with fans and stuff like that, and the fact that, you know, there's a fickle light of fame and of people that like you. I mean, I look at professional sports players, and like, you know, you have a bad season and you got people in the stands going like, you're a bum.
Yeah.
And we have the same thing
because of social media.
Exactly.
You're just eviscerated.
That's the thing. Yeah. And I feel for these kids to be thrust in the limelight so quickly, and to be, you know, they are beloved. And look, I hope that they never have a day of not being beloved, but I will say, I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's possible for any human being. I mean, we go up and down. The world loves you. They hate you. I mean, it's just the nature of fortune, right? It's like a fickle wheel. It just spins. It just spins.
But you feel the hate more than you do the love for some reason.
Absolutely. It's so true, right? Yeah. I mean,
you have to learn, though, you know, that my dad years ago just, he would say, always consider the source. Always consider the source. And when you do that, it helps mitigate and tamp down that stuff. But it's hard, though, because you get into this because you, as you said, you go to the hairdresser. How am I doing? And you don't want to hear you're not. It doesn't look like it's going well.
And you think that I think because, you know, we're on TV or whatever it is, like, I think it, too. I mean, I've written things on about people on Twitter, like celebrities and stuff. And you think that, like, those people are immune because they are so, like, blah, blah. And then you're just like, no, like, I'm just a human being like anybody else. So if you come up and say, like, you're the worst, like, it hurts. I mean,
I am.
Yeah, it's,
I am the worst. You know,
but it is true, like, the amount, you can just rack up love and it just, you know, scroll through that. Somebody goes, like, I don't know.
Like your hairdresser.
What? Yeah, exactly.
Well, like, I tweeted out OJ's on Twitter now, and I tweeted out. I did bring up the double murder thing, but I said he looked good. So I tried to.
Okay.
I still, even with OJ, I tried to do that.
Going back to Stranger Things, I love the concept of the town of Hawkins. It's very Stephen King-esque, like Castle Rock, where there's just this area that's concentrated. Weird things are happening all the time. You've also got this cast that's growing up. This could go on for quite a while. You know, and only you and the guy, the people that are writing this show know whether it's a definitive end at the end of season three. We don't know. But this train could keep riding for a while, couldn't it?
Could it?
Yeah.
All right.
Well.
All right. Like a shaky witness, I'm going to reach for the glass.
We know
take
you,
a sip of coffee.
We know you got to run. Real quick question about Black Widow. You are indeed filming that?
No. Yes. I don't know if I'm filming right now.
Right.
But yes.
Okay.
We are shooting that movie. Yes.
I just wanted to make sure because, you know, reports and IMDb. And
No. There's a lot of misinformation on that as well. But I will say that Kate Shortland is directing this movie Black Widow, which I am in. And it is incredible.
Awesome.
We love the subject matter,
Scarlett.
We're thrilled you're in it. We're huge fans of what you do, and it's just very intriguing. So
I think it's really going to be a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, and these Marvel guys are like, you know, they're just the best in the business. Like Kevin Feige, and these guys are just so good at what they do. So you really feel it on set too. It's like this real, you know, these guys are just really good at telling stories.
They take something that could be lighter than air. And really just evaporate, and they make it something that has gravitas to it, which is amazing.
Exactly.
Stranger Things Season 3 is on Netflix July 4th. Dude, I'm really happy that you're like a super nice guy.
Oh, thanks.
Always nice to find out.
Nice to talk to you guys.
Thank you. We appreciate
it. Enjoy the season. It's really, and I don't say this, I mean, I'm stand behind the hype. It's like, it's going to take your breath away.
Love awesome. It. Love Excellent. It. All right, let's hear it for David Harbour.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't you stray too far. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
Now, 93.3 WMMR. Now. Everything that rocks.
I have two butt plugs. And I'm not talking about me
you're
personally.
You're boasting?
No.
You can handle a lot.
There are charity events that I want to mention.
Butt plug, butt plug, butt plug, butt plug. Here's some butt plugs loaded up with deets and info, man. Charities can email us and we'll do what we can with a butt plug, butt plug, butt plug, butt plug. Yay!
All right, I got these. Both of these events are taking place this weekend, the 27th. So I wanted to make sure I mention these. And this is from Teresa Aprovato. Unfortunately, her father-in-law is really sick. He's going through kidney failure. 60 years old. They're from Pemberton, New Jersey. So on Thursday, it says Thursday, June 27th.
Yeah,
it is Thursday. Yeah, okay, I want to make sure it was the right date. Okay. Thursday, June 27th, 6 p.m., we're having a fundraiser at Rita's Water Ice at 21 Juliustown Road in Browns Mills, New Jersey. And it's for Robert S. Estridge. I'm getting the name wrong, I'm sure. Anyway, if you know the area, please go by.
Sure.
He's a grandpa of five with another one on the way, and he's on the list of, to be a donor. I would appreciate if you could give a shout-out anytime before June 27th to get the word out. So I just wanted to mention that. So yeah. Browns Mills, New Jersey, and this is on Thursday at 6 p.m. They're doing a fundraiser. So if you're in that area, please go by and help out. And then I got this one from Rich Donnelly. He's a member of an all-professional firefighter motorcycle club in Philadelphia called the Axemen. Great name. And he said, we're a nonprofit organization that is having a fundraiser to help the Burn Foundation purchase Burn Buddy dolls. And these are great. So they're all sent to burn centers. The dolls are to give comfort to children who are admitted to treatment. Their happy faces not only bring joy to their new friends, but they also help in the healing process. Each buddy comes dressed in a hospital gown, not unlike the patient. And they also have a set of bandages that the children can use to simulate the children that are getting care from the doctors and nurses. And this little bit of empathy goes a long way towards helping the children understand the treatment they are getting. So they have an event. Not until, oh, this is July 27th. Okay.
Well, it's well out in advance. This is your first heads up, and I'm sure you'll repeat it as we get closer.
This won't conflict with the one on June 27th. So Saturday, July 27th at the VFW in Bensalem. So it's on Lavender Roads, post 9220. And they got beer, food, music, Chinese auction. And the Philadelphia Police and Fire Pipes and Drums will be there. It's $25. So I wanted to mention that. And, Nick, I think I sent you that.
Yeah, I would show it to you on the website if I could show you the website.
Yeah. So that's available on the, excuse me, on the community page of WMMR.com and PrestonSteve.com. So I just wanted to make sure that I mentioned those. And is there something that I need to give away right now in case or
no.
Are we good for now?
No, we're good.
I'll do a giveaway in a moment. Ping's Hot Dogs here this morning, King of Prussia. So thank you to those guys. And you can find them in the King of Prussia Mall, and they're inside the food court, the new one, and they're great. They're brought by chili dogs and all kinds of good stuff, so we love it. Let's do the Bizarre Five.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
So this must have been a hell of an event on a flight. A woman has been arrested after two Royal Air Force jets were forced to escort a passenger plane back to London following severe disruption on board shortly after takeoff.
The hell happened?
So when they scrambled jets, you know, this is pretty serious. Jet 2, British low-cost airline, reported that there had been an extremely disruptive passenger on board its flight Saturday from London to Turkey. The flight departed around 6 p.m. and was escorted back to London only about 20 minutes after it was in the air. A spokeswoman for the police said that a woman had been arrested on suspicion of two assaults and endangering an aircraft. And the RAF also confirmed that two quick reaction alert Typhoon aircraft were scrambled to escort the flight back to Stansted.
Did they shoot it down?
No, they didn't shoot it down. Oh. There were other people on the plane.
Oh, yeah, that'd be collateral damage.
On Twitter, the airport wrote a large number of 911 calls coming in about a loud explosion. We have liaised with the Essex police, who are confirming that this is a sonic boom from a passing aircraft. So they had to get there quickly.
Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Police added there's a possibility that residents nearby may have heard a loud noise often associated with a sonic boom as the aircraft descended into Stansted airspace. But they arrested the woman. I don't have any details of exactly
what she
did.
She must have been going out of her freaking mind.
Yeah, it must have been a threat to take the plane.
Yeah,
down.
Yeah.
Georgia Department of Health officials are reportedly investigating after 54 children attending an Atlanta area summer camp became sick.
Sick.
Yeah, they were ill. The Rock Eagle.
Yes, this is Counselor Cowper. Your child is sick.
You had to do that 54 times.
Sick, sick.
The
sick. 50. Sick.
The Rock Eagle 4-H Center in Putnam County, Georgia, was closed for...
Oh, yes, I do exfoliate.
As a matter of fact.
For overnight visits this week after dozens of children staying overnight reported signs of gas...
Actually, this is going to freak you out. I'm 44.
Of gastroenteritis.
I would have sworn on a day over 35.
Don't I look 44?
And I never got sick.
Of gastrointestinal illness. Symptoms began late Wednesday... Early Thursday, and included nausea, vomiting,
back to your child.
And diarrhea. One camp leader told the news station that the number of campers showing symptoms spiked Thursday morning, prompting officials to take action. The camp will reportedly be closed for overnight campers throughout the weekend, but daytime activities at the camp will continue. The pool will also be closed and cleaned as a precaution. The Department of Health officials added that the cause of the illness would likely be identified in the next week following lab tests. I'm 44. Stefani Carol Kirkoff. Jerkoff.
What? Julie?
Julie Jerkoff. I'm so sorry. Bunghole.
Forgive me.
Forgive me. It's Bunghole.
Julie Jerkoff. Forgive me, Kirkoff.
So Stefani Carol Kirkoff always checks the washer and dryer to make sure that none of her three cats have climbed inside almost always. Last week, after fetching more clothes for a load of laundry, shut the door without thinking, set the machine on express wash, and walked away. 45 minutes later, when the cycle was done, she noticed the clothes were still dripping wet. She was about to shut the door again when she saw a single white paw sticking out from the wet laundry. I'll save the suspense, Steve. The cat was okay.
Yes.
Somehow her one-year-old cat, Felix, had found his way into the machine. She quickly took him out and called her father, who raised him to the Animal Emergency Referral Center. Although Felix had lost his vision and had pneumonia from the amount of water in his lungs, he survived and is doing better now, and he can see and he's eating.
He can even type.
He's still on some oxygen, but Kirkoff's daughter began a GoFundMe appeal for Felix to help offset the rising medical bills, which she said are already up to $7,000, and she said it's the least they could do after Felix fought to stay alive. So you have 10 cats in your house. You watch closely when you're doing laundry?
We check every time, yeah.
Yeah, listen, they
want to get into those spaces.
Yeah, they're pretty good with that stuff, you know, but you still check.
Yeah.
I had a cabinet. There's a cabinet door that's down close to the floor. And one morning when I was getting out the door to go to work, I said, just close the door here.
Yeah.
And I opened it up, and the cat had spent the whole night in the cupboard.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, I've done the same thing. And their food is in there. So they know. So as soon as you open it, they run in. And sometimes I don't know they're in there and close it.
Right, right.
And then it's like an alcoholic getting locked in a bar for the night. Right?
Oh, they were, so, the food that I have for them, you kind of just tear off the top. It's like a mixture of, like, plastic.
They clawed through?
Clawed through about 10 of them. They were throwing up for 3 days.
We'll survive. We just need to ration water.
So, I don't know if you guys saw this video or not. Something happens to people when they have kids, along with being filled with joy and love, comes from parenthood. Most women and men also wind up with spontaneously developing superhuman reflexes. The so-called mom and dad reflexes have actually wound up saving many children from injuries. And there's a video making the rounds on Reddit, and the clip shows a woman and her young child walking off an elevator. As they seemingly head to an appointment in an office building, the mom waits to be buzzed in. Her toddler wanders over to a balcony. It looked more like a stairway to me.
It's amazing.
And while there's a railing there, it isn't solid. There's nothing stopping the child from falling, and that's exactly what happens. Yet somehow, from many feet away, this woman dives and just catches this kid by the leg and hangs on.
Have you guys seen the footage?
No.
Yeah, you got to see it. It's amazing.
It's pretty wild.
And it seems weird that they wouldn't have something to, you know, where to block kids. I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah. I've seen compilation videos of parents doing this type of thing, though. You know,
catching a kid.
Yeah, it's incredible.
If you look closely during the whole scary situation, the mom didn't even drop her phone when it happened. Video ends with the mother pulling her child up and the office workers coming to comfort and applaud her after her catch. So it's kind of scary, but the kid ended up being all right, I guess. And that is the bizarre file for now. I should give away something because we have so many things to give away. You want me to do the strip club?
Yeah!
Let's do Club Risque.
Yeah!
We have
strip.
Yeah!
Club.
Yeah! Boobs.
Yeah!
Casey Boy will be at the Bristol location of Club Risque.
Yeah!
And Nick will be at the Philly location of Club Risque.
Yeah!
And this will be Casey Wednesday, Nick on Thursday.
Yeah!
And
dear God.
Yep. Come on, join along, Kevin.
Okay.
And we have your chance to win passes to be there with them.
Yeah.
And it'll include 1 hour VIP open bar at 8.
Yeah.
And your chance to grab cash and other prizes in their cash booth that night.
Yeah.
So if you're at least 21 years of age, you can be one of the next 5 callers and pick which night you want to go to.
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to do today's lesson question, and we're having some communication issues with our Wi-Fi and internet and all that stuff. So Nick is going to ask a question because he's got him over there, and we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see. Okay, Casey.
Yes.
Did they change the copy on this or not?
Oh, they did. They did. It is going to be Harry Potter.
It is, okay.
And it's just a... Actually, Nick, you know off the top
it's
of your head.
It's the fourth one, yeah. It's Goblet of Fire. I literally think you have the copy from last year, Preston.
Yeah, this is Prisoner of Azkaban. Yes. So
it's July 20th, which is my birthday. Okay. And so it's the fourth Harry Potter movie. It's with the orchestra. It's at the Man. It's a great time. I've been to many of these in the past, and they're a lot of fun.
Yeah, the copy's in front of you now, Preston. The correct copy.
That is what you get. All right, what's our question, Nick?
I'm going to go with an early one. E.T.'s people from his home planet would like to dissect which actor. Actor will be dissected if they get their way by E.T.'s people.
All right. I think I remember that. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Let's see if you know the answer. And while you're calling in, we'll do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, what do we have today?
Well, the Justin Bieber versus Tom Cruise UFC fight hype is in full gear, and head honcho Dana White says it will be the biggest pay-per-view event in history if it happens. Not to be outdone, though, celebrity boxing promoter Damon Feldman has announced a pillow fight between Milton Street and Snooki.
Wow. Oh,
wow. That's pretty big stuff. Janet Jackson finally addressing the effect of the Leaving Neverland documentary on the legacy of Michael Jackson. Janet says that some people will always believe Michael molested little boys and some will not, but the first group is right.
Yeah.
And finally, Page Six reporting that Lindsay Lohan has signed a recording agreement with Casablanca Records. According to the deal, Lohan has agreed to never record anything for Casablanca Records. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right. Thank you, Steve. All right. So we're looking to find out who on E.T.'s home planet, what actor they were going to dissect. Oh, I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to try this out. Hi, Kilton.
It's actually Clinton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Also.
Here's something like Kilton. That.
How's Whopper doing?
Yeah.
Whopper.
Kilton.
I forgot about Whopper. Whoppers.
We made somebody cry with Whopper.
That's
that
right.
Okay, I'm
poor
sorry.
Girl.
Clinton.
Kilton.
Do me a favor and tell me what actor is going to be dissected on the home world of E.T.
Dave Coulier.
Yes! One moment, sir. We're going to get your information. And we're going to give you
Kilton and Wolper.
Kilton and Wolper.
The new to Tango
That's
and
our
Cash.
Next show. Yeah.
Kilton and Wolper.
Oh, my God. Tickets to rediscover the magic of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire in concert at the Man's TD Pavilion on July 20th. The Philadelphia Orchestra performs Patrick Doyle's unforgettable score live as the enchanting Harry Potter series plays on the big screen in high definition. Picnics are welcome at this all-ages event. The series, Movies at the Man, is presented by BMW. For tickets, you can visit themancenter.org. We're going to do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Yeah!
Dickhead.
All right. Well, sorry, this is a pretty solid story, man. Dave Grohl and Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top are both making guest appearances on the upcoming album for Queens of the Stone Age.
Wow.
I think that's so cool that Billy Gibbons. Now, Dave has already done stuff before with Queens, by the way. So
he's on their basically their hits.
Yeah, he's on their first album. He's on the Songs for the Deaf. But Gibbons said while performing at Hellfest in France just one month ago, I was making a record with Queens of the Stone Age, and Dave Grohl was also taking part, and he decided to have a big barbecue, just talking about this event. And Dave's really into barbecue, yes, by the way. So Gibbons confirmed the project was a new Queens album, adding that it could be out by Halloween. Some fans speculated that the album could be a new entry in Josh Homme's long-running Desert Sessions series. The last Queens album, Villains, came out in 2017. And like I said, Dave had played drums on 2002's album Songs for the Deaf and also contributed drums to five songs on 2013's Like Clockwork. And plus, he was in the band with Josh and John Paul Jones of Zeppelin as they did an album together and toured under the name Them Crooked Vultures.
Yeah, you know what? That song, Newfang, that they did, I love. And I'm going to play a little bit of it, but it didn't take the way I sort of felt like it should. I just thought it was had a catchy hook to it. The guitar was good. I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah. It didn't really speak to me much.
Yeah.
But sometimes music is that way. They get it doesn't always take off and become really big. But certainly had some great musicians in that project. Prophets of Rage, the supergroup featuring members of Rage Against the Machine, Public Enemy, and Cypress Hill, have released a new single called Made with Hate. The track is likely to appear on the band's sophomore album, which is tentatively slated to arrive next year. The band's self-titled debut album surfaced in 2017. On what inspired the new song, Chuck D said, Made with Hate was formed out of a conversation amongst ourselves about the level of passion fuel it takes to create, especially when attacking something of hate. You must create the energy to hate hate. To have peace, you have to despise hatred with a passion for peace and attack it.
What?
So that's the motivation behind this song. Exactly. Shinedown's current single, Monsters, just became the band's 14th number one single on Billboard's mainstream rock songs chart, keeping them in second place, but closing rapidly on 3 Days Grace, who recently earned their 15th chart topper on the chart with Right, Left, Wrong. Meanwhile, Monsters...
That's the code to Contra, right?
Is it's up, up, down, down.
Oh. Left, right, B, A, B, A, select, start.
That's the one, yeah. Monsters is now Shinedown's 15th number one on the active rock chart, while every one of the group's 25 consecutive singles has reached the top five on mainstream rock song airplay charts. Raconteurs fans have discovered, this is really cool, that the limited edition vinyl version of the band's new Help Us Stranger album includes a hidden tribute to the Beatles. The special vinyl edition comes with a lenticular sleeve,
ooh,
which when removed reveals a spoof of the Fab Four's notorious Yesterday and Today Butcher Shop cover from 1966. And the heads of Jack White, Brendan Benson, Patrick Keeler, and Jack Lawrence replace those of the Beatles on the cover with the new album's title rendered in the original typeface. So that's kind of cool. I like that he does these hidden little things.
Well, and remember, you told him that you saw a similarity to the Beatles sound.
Yeah, in Sunday Driver and Day Tripper. So he's clearly a fan, which is cool. Korn has set the date for the apparent reveal of whether the band has been teasing the past two, or what the band, whatever the band has been teasing for the last 2 weeks.
It still works. It's like watching Sinatra take the stage. It's always there.
According to a post shared via social media, the official reveal is scheduled for this Wednesday.
One more time.
All right.
I thought there was two.
Well, this is the original.
The second one, the second one was by accident.
It's like you see The Godfather, and then you see The Godfather saga. That was done on the fly, right?
Yeah,
it was. Yes, yeah. That's... Can you do it faster?
Double A.
Can you play Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy with that?
I don't know. What's
I don't
that?
Think so.
I don't know how that goes.
No, that's in the mood, I was thinking.
No. I couldn't do it.
Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy Company B. It's close. Close.
The button's not good.
The button's not good.
Man.
All right.
More tragic words have never been uttered.
A master craftsman never blames his tools.
Yeah, well, this tool sucks. Not a master craftsman.
The band has also launched a time-based puzzle at its official website, corn.com. An email sent out to the band's mailing list features the caption, "You'll never find me," similar to the one sent last week with the message, "Watch it all fall down." Current speculation is the band either unveiling its new LP, launching a single, or both. And then one last story. Although this is kind of cool. Roger Daltrey says that the messianic lead character in The Who's Tommy.
Yes.
Would have the draw of a reality star today.
Wow. Even Tommy had their brief fart period. The Who. So he says he'd be more less like a Jesus and more like a reality star.
Yeah, he said Daltrey has just released his latest solo album, The Live Collection, The Who's Tommy Orchestral. The concert set was recorded in Budapest and Bethel in upstate New York, the scene of the first Woodstock Festival 50 years ago. In an interview, Daltrey maintained that the story of the deaf, dumb, and blind pinball champion resonates just as strongly with society 50 years after its initial release, explaining, "To me, it's every bit as relevant. The more I lived with it, the more I've come to realize it's about the human condition and worshiping false heroes. And today, with social media and that, it seems to be more prevalent than ever with the worshiping of false heroes." He said, "Tommy would be one of the Kardashians now." And then he laughs and calls him Tammy. He said, "Why
the hell are you talking about?"
He said, "Why I'm pleased with this is because the audience went absolutely bananas when they heard it and thought that this is still touching people." He said, 14,000 people turned up to see me on my own. I thought that was crazy. But there's something within that piece that resonates with people and moves him.
In the actual original piece, while he's looked at as sort of a messianic figure, he is, they know that he's, you know, he's not. He's a flawed.
Well, eventually, yeah. He said those characters in Tommy are just metaphors for different parts of our society that we live in. He said, "And I don't care who you are. You can be the hardest bastard on the planet. But one day in your life, you will sit there saying, 'See me, feel me, touch me, heal me,' feeling sorry for yourself." There's a vulnerability that music and those words create. So I thought that was just kind of an interesting insight into that. And that is what I have for you in music news this morning. All right. We're going to take a break, and we're going to give away our last $50 Pink's Hot Dogs gift card.
Yeah!
Caller 18, it's yours. 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget, celebrities like Katy Perry, James Corden, Steve Martin, George Lopez, Jennifer Garner, Nicole Kidman, Jay Leno, Michael Jackson, and even Betty White.
Can I have two, please? Cheetah goo?
I'm surprised.
I know.
I thought it would be one.
No.
You're so slight.
Here you go. Some chili and Mediterranean-looking boys. Oh, you don't have that?
Just the hot dogs.
Just the chili.
All right, then just the hot dogs.
They're
all pink on the inside.
They have all relished the delicious flavors and taste of Pink's hot dogs. Visit pinkshollywood.com.
What do you want, Bubbles?
For more information, sorry.
Sorry.
And there you go. That's what I have. Wait, I already finished.
What happened?
Wait, what?
Are you talking about? I thought it's now the bizarre fact.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll get the letter of the day for the word of the week prize and the triumphant return of Pierre Robert.
Oh, yes.
When we get back, stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, the Greg Silver Band. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. You get more beautiful every time. You make me say yes.
see and hear more at WMMR.com. Keyword Local Shots. The Greg Sover Band, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I just got word from Marissa. No cake recipes, but I let you guys try. My son Carter came in this morning and brought his $1 million bacon with him.
Yes.
And it's amazing. And so Marissa is putting the recipe up now on our social, Marissa, or on the website? Social. Everywhere. She says everywhere. So
everywhere you want to be.
You want to try the greatest bacon ever. It's a recipe. Actually, Rochelle found it and Carter made it. So, but it's, oh my God, it's so good. It's
I understand, Carter, you made a number of the dishes for the party on Saturday, right?
Yeah, I did. I made a mac and cheese, a baked mac and cheese.
Oh, was that you?
Yeah.
That was damn good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Very good.
And you made the guacamole?
Yes, I did.
And the stuffed peppers?
Yep.
And the $1 million bacon?
Yes.
Good man.
How about that crap?
Look at him go.
I should have had kids to cook for me.
You should have. Oh, my God. Everyone should have kids to cook for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please. Yeah. Right now, we're working on laundry, learning to do laundry. So that will be next.
Oh. Carry daddy to bed.
eventually. Eventually.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to announce our winner for Tattoos Day, because today is indeed Tattoos Day, and people are getting signed up all morning long, texting in. We got a winner, and that winner is Kevin Groves from Philadelphia. Kevin, congratulations. You just won yourself a $350 gift certificate, good for a Preston and Steve Show themed tattoo from world-famous Philadelphia Addies Tattoo. And you will find them at 621 South 4th Street in South Philly. And you can get tattooed by the area's top tattoo artists like Kyle Fitzpatrick. You can see his work on Instagram at Kyle_Fitzpatrick_ or PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com. So congrats to you, my man. All set. Case, you want to say something?
I did. You know, Marissa is actually hosting this wine and cheese party. And that is tonight.
Tonight for Wine and Cheese with Marissa?
Yeah, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Arch Enemy Arts, and that's in Old City. And so, I mean, she has a whole bunch of slots that are available if anybody wants to join her for this.
Come fill her slots.
Yeah, fill her slots this morning. Both to join her tonight. No, there's more than two slots.
More than two slots.
Marissa has a ton of slots.
How many are there?
There are 14 slots.
Dear Lord.
I don't know.
This must be some sort of medical thing.
Not all of them now. How many you want to do?
Well, no, we have to do all of them now.
It's tonight.
But when it comes to being a great host or hostess in this case, Marissa kicks ass. She always does a great job and makes sure everyone has a great time.
Yep. Yeah, so this is a wine and cheese party tonight. I believe you just show up and eat cheese and drink wine and hang out with Marissa.
As implied by the name.
Yeah. And that's going to be from 6 to 8 tonight, Arch Enemy Arts. And they're also going to have some movie passes to go to see this movie called Stuber.
Okay. All right. We'll get you online now. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. Fill all slots. All right, thank you to Pink's Hot Dog.
Yeah!
In the food court, and you can go to pinkshollywood.com. They brought in these special footlongs that they wrote Pink's Loves WMMR on, and mustard, which is really cool, and they brought chili dogs and all kinds of good stuff. They're loaded with great food.
I know I'm going on and on about it, but that their veggie hot dog, Pierre. Unbelievable. Okay. So good. I'm sorry. I ate one and Marissa has the other one, but it's just, it's a mind blower how good it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you to those guys. And thank you to David Harbour.
Yeah.
From Stranger Things, plays Hopper. He says, and I believe him, I don't think he was hyping at all. He's like, season 3 is awesome. He said it is kick-ass. It is so good.
Do you know what? First off, he is a fan of all this kind of stuff. That's why Stranger Things, he loves being a part of the series. And if you read the stuff he's into, I'll guarantee third season's going to kick ass.
Yeah. So it's coming out on July 4th. Yes, Pierre.
Forgive my ignorance, but I heard the whole interview and it was great, but what is the premise of the show? I've not seen it. Well, those of us who haven't.
Yeah, it's a group of kids who live in this town called Hawkins, Indiana. There were some psychological testings done on these kids, and there's other worldly things that are going on.
Interdimensional.
It's
sort of a fulcrum for these bizarre happenings, and they're all sort of related, but it has a very freaky
Twilight Zone-ish.
But with
Twin Peaks.
Well, part of it is also it's focused on the kids.
Okay.
And so you got these kids that are like 11 and 12 years old, and it takes you back to childhood when it takes place in the 1980s, so it's a lot of bike riding and people getting into adventures on their own as kids, and they start to find out that these really strange things are happening, and it's just well done. It's well written.
Very... Is he the father?
No.
He's a sheriff.
Father figure of sorts eventually.
But right.
Yeah, he's the chief of police.
Cool.
All right. And it's really, really well done.
All right.
And so since it's all there, you want to watch both seasons, you can tear right through them.
I'm going to go flix it.
You should flix it.
Flix it like the wind.
Thank you to David Harbour for being on the show this morning. It's cool. You want to do the letter of the day?
Flix it.
Let's do it.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter
A as in arrangement.
All righty. And we are going to give away 4 ringside seats for WWE Extreme Rules Sunday, July 14th, Wells Fargo Center. You can see Kofi Kingston, Kevin Owens, and Dolph Ziggler in a WWE Championship triple threat match. Seth Rollins and Baron Corbin in a WWE Universal Championship table match, and many more.
And Kelsey Grammer.
Of your favorite Raw and SmackDown Live superstars. I don't think Kelsey Grammer is going to be there. Tickets start at just $25 at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. So we'll give that away on Friday, which will be here before you know it. Back from a day off, Jackie Bam Bam did a wonderful job filling in for you.
How was he?
He was great. I only heard just a little smidgen, but Casey heard more of the show and said that he crushed it.
Very excited.
He was.
He was texting me, I'm doing great. I'm crushing it. I'm going, yes, people are really liking it. Bill liked that. Go, all right, good.
He was out of a jab. He was a little nervous as well, though. You could tell, you know, because he's taking the main seat there for that. It was very cool.
He's not a daytime person.
No,
he is a vampire, so he probably didn't get any sleep. Prior to it, he'd probably been up all night and went right into the gig. But there you go.
At night, though, if you go in on a show, I know you have been a number of times. That's his element. Yeah. He just loves it. He lives and breathes it.
He does live and breathe it.
Yep.
I've told you guys this story before, but he and I were at the Hooters a couple of years ago at the Keswick Theater, and it's a little warm in the room, sold out house, and he's in full leather, including a big, thick leather jacket. And I'm going, Jackie, why don't you just take that off? It's a little cold. He goes, a little hot. He goes, it's the look.
It's the look. It's the look.
Can't do it.
Tim Thornton. It's about rock and roll.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I want my picture to blow up on Blabbermouth.
Right? It's always Blabbermouth.
Oh, I love your imitation of him. You have so many great imitations, but I love your Jackie. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Sometimes Preston will get a text that Preston will use a word like, you know, circumstantial.
Yeah, or some
circumstantial,
word.
That's a great word.
Yeah. He always texts Casey and lets him know.
He's like, I'm going to use that.
You know, I'll say, we're delving into the world of whatever. And
paradigm.
He said, delve.
Delve. Oh, my God. Delve. It's very nostalgic because I had a Dell computer growing up.
Oh, God.
Well, nice. He said, let us have a great day.
You never know. So what is on your show today then, man?
Well, I will have tickets for the Struts and Glorious Sons and Bones are coming to the area, not close by, but at Mount Airy Casino up in the Poconos, and we'll give a hotel room for the evening along with that. We've got Workforce Blocks of Fleetwood Mac for Mick's birthday yesterday. We've got Disturbed in the Workforce Blocks. We've got Collective Soul, and I think I might replay the acoustic session that they did for us on the beach in Atlantic City at the beginning of Memorial Weekend.
I was listening to it the entire drive back up, and it was a great conversation, and I know that they were sweating out there because they were sitting and playing in the sun, but man, did it sound fantastic.
It did sound good. Okay, yeah. Cool. I didn't get a chance to hear it back, but it sounded good on the boardwalk. Sometimes, you know, you don't know if the mix is going to make it to the radio or not, but we were under the tent for the interview, took a break, and then they came back and played 3 songs. Including the single "Right as Rain," and it was beating. There was no umbrella on their little stage. It was beating down upon them. And Jesse, the guitar player, said, "I wish I hadn't worn black pants." But they did sound great. So.
Cool, excellent. Well, it should be a good time today. I want to thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve Show, brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also, Ace, the Acme.
Ace.
The official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. And also by Winter Airport Parking, the fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. Tomorrow on our show, as we do on Wednesdays, we'll go on Fox Good Day. And Connor Barwin is stopping by.
How nice. Cool is that?
Got a charity concert coming up, so it'll be cool to see Connor. He's a great guy. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Look, man, if I'm reading you my phone number, there's three sets of number with the area code. You do not have to give me a three-second between each one. 111, Don't do it, people.
Next message.
Hey, just want to give a shout-out to Rita Cecily. Love you. It me.
Next message.
Sweaty ball sack, sweaty, sweaty ball sack. Sweaty ball sack, sweaty, sweaty ball sack. Sweaty ball sack, sweaty, sweaty ball sack.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.